106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
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 Run the 100-yard dash, Phil. It's over the line.
Guys. Okay, hold on. You be Nance and I'll be Phil Sims.
Okay.
From yesterday. About the thing with the 100-yard dash.
Had a little trouble moving there on that play, Phil. Kind of reminds me of you. You know, you weren't really known for that in your playing days. In fact, just the other day, you wouldn't even challenge me to a 100-yard dash.
Wait, what are you talking about?
You know, when I challenged you. You remember, right, Phil? When I challenged you to a 100-yard dash, you wouldn't even take me on.
That's a lie. You better get to church. That's a lie.
Pregnant pause, no laughing. Humorless pair in the broadcasting booth.
Second and four for the Broncos.
How about these fans?
Back to the game. Hey,
guys.
Now back to the game. I'm not lying.
Guys.
You're a big pussy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've said it, Jim Nance.
Record snow here in Denver days ago. Of course, the ski resorts, they love it, guys.
They sure do. What a beautiful town this is.
Great fans.
The Mile High Attitude in Vesco Field. And, of course, now I get to suckle all of the tender parts the Rooney family has to offer up here on stage, guys.
Put up that ancient picture of Art Rooney with the chomping on the half-eaten cigar. We're going to talk about what a saint he was. Bought the team for $2,500.
The noise is notable. The excitement is palatable.
So much hyperbole surrounding this game.
I'm here with Art Rooney, Jr., president of the Steelers, your dad, the great man.
Your son, Mickey.
May I kiss you?
Yes, a lot of the black and gold around this stadium. They've made their way out here.
Guys, I just saw Brokeback Mountain and the Rooney family. I want you to know I would like to be either Jake or Heath.
Thanks, Phil. Phil, you're not a man. You didn't challenge me to a race. I do go to church, guys. I'm in Detroit all this week.
Yeah, that's our update. That's how we're starting the show today. Jim Nance, the greatest woman in broadcasting,
yes.
Who called the two very boring blowout games yesterday, called the Pittsburgh game yesterday.
One of them was.
Was supposed to be.
The Broncos got ripped off. God, I mean, really, I hate it when the referees hand a game to a team.
There you go.
Mike, would you please stop defending the play of your favorite player, Jake Plummer?
Jake Plummer, I think that much hair deserves more credit. Love that guy, and boy, was he ripped off. That game could have gone either way, except for those guys in the striped shirts.
I hate to sound old, but you know what would have won that game for Denver?
What's that?
A nice haircut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A nice haircut.
That's right. Think maybe if he cleans up a little bit, he's not having all those little whirly birds.
He's the Mountain Man quarterback.
Shave that hippie beard.
The Mountain Man quarterback. There is Jake Plummer playing like a friggin' retard today. What about that, Phil?
You're a liar. Get to church.
And look at Jake Plummer out there playing like a retard. Reminds me of your son, Chris, playing like a retard. Like I've told you many, many times, Phil, your son is retarded.
That is a lie. Get to church. You better get to church, Nancy.
Second and two for the Broncos. Ashley Lalee in motion. So he was supposed to, and this is a email now back and forth throughout the weekend,
right.
Between Rob and Nance's, gal Friday.
People.
So he's supposed to be on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, emergency phone call.
Oh, no.
Just moments ago.
What?
Guys, can't do it. I'm in Detroit right now. I'm in Detroit filming the CBS Super Bowl special, guys.
Yes, the special that we have on CBS, even though we don't have the game. You think you'd maybe want to take attention away from the Super Bowl? No.
The special that won't run for two more weeks, guys.
I would think it would have to be called the CBS football special.
The CBS football
the big,
special.
The big game. Yeah, like right. all those yeah, ads right. yesterday during the game that said that if you buy your TV, you can have it in time for the big game.
Because they're not allowed to say Super
Detroit's
Bowl.
Detroit's a beautiful place to play the big game. I'm Jim Nantz. I'm here with the big game special.
Oh, hold on a second.
What?
Please hold on. Hey, would you grab the CBS music, please?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be darned.
Everybody ready for some egg on your face?
No, I'm not. How's Tom do it?
Hey.
Dynamite!
Here he is, everybody.
Here's Jim Nantz from CBS Sports. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hello, it's Tom. Hey, buddy.
Here we were talking bad about Jim Nantz, and here he is calling the show tonight. And here he is calling.
Tom, you sound like you're partying.
Yeah, well, at the protest,
don't tell me you're at Roe v. Wade today.
No, Roe v. Wade.
Are you at the Right to Life rally at the MCI yeah. Center?
No, but
Uh-huh. So that's a yes?
Yes, it is.
Which side had you come down?
Independence Avenue.
No. Are you for or against abortion?
I'm for it.
You're for abortion?
Yes.
Me too.
Matter of fact, Tom does them.
Too bad.
I wish Charlie.
Too bad I couldn't have talked to your mom.
That means, Tom, you would be pro-choice, right? You're pro-choice. Yeah, I mean, if you're for abortion, then you're pro-choice.
Yeah, I'm walking towards the Capitol.
Why don't you yell really at the top of your lungs, pro-choice?
Pro-choice!
How'd that reaction, how did that go over, Tom?
Now, why don't you?
I'm not aware that the other side is down there. I thought this was just a right to life rally.
I am almost sure that Tom is confused.
Yes. Yeah,
he had a very staunch Catholic upbringing.
He loves a good crime.
Tom, where are you exactly? Are you in a parade right now?
Yeah.
Are you in a march?
I want you to say as loud as you can. This is a tough womb.
What now?
Say, this is a tough womb.
This is a tough womb.
No, say it louder, Tom. A womb, W-O-M-B.
This is a tough W-O-M-B.
Hey, Tom, can we possibly speak to anybody that you're marching with?
Oh, we'd have to get the permission.
Oh, that's
Mike,
right. Yeah,
he
won't be able to do that. I'm just trying to figure out once and for all who Tom's marching with.
Tom's got to get all the way to the
It's
Capitol?
A right to life march today,
mostly,
isn't it?
There are always, the other side is always there, but mainly.
But if he's in
this
the
is,
big march.
Yeah,
I saw that on the news.
He loves the crowd.
What's the march called? Is it called Right to Life, Tom?
Yes, it is.
Okay, what
and
you
Tom,
want?
Tom, hold on. Am I gonna, just excuse me for 1 second.
Okay.
What does right to life mean?
Right to life means. Listen. We're right near the Capitol.
Tom, again, what does right to life mean?
It means, right to life means save abortion.
Save abortion.
Save abortion. Right.
Exactly.
How's the hip holding up during the march?
I'm riding in a wheelchair, buddy.
Oh, you got a wheelchair. Oh, okay,
hey.
Good. Easier for you today. Want to shout pro-choice again?
Save abortion!
Oh, say pro-choice.
Pro-choice!
Say pro-choice kicks ass. Pro-choice is number one.
Pro-choice number one!
Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Seattle is going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Would anyone like to see Brokeback Mountain?
What?
Would anyone like to see Brokeback Mountain?
What?
You'll never get that. Try this one, Tom. I was the wrong choice. Try that. I was.
You know.
Yeah.
He knows that one.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Say pro-choice.
Yes, Charlie on the
pro-choice.
Phone. Pro-choice. Yes.
He's very distracted.
Yeah, Tom, Charlie's in a wheelchair today, too.
Hard to believe that Tom Gavin, hard to believe that the 30 years, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade,
right,
and all the stuff that's happening in downtown D.C., that Tom Gavin would be there.
He's
in the middle of the rally.
And it's good he's in a wheelchair. That way he won't be too winded to speak when he gets to the Capitol.
He's very, very plugged into what's going on in the nation's capital. Oh, he really is. Yeah. Are you having fun, Tom?
Yes.
What did you have for breakfast today?
I had eggs and bacon from McDonald's.
Good. Very, very yummy.
Good.
Yep.
Are they going to feed you lunch or dinner?
Yeah.
Very good, Tom.
Have you ever had an abortion at McDonald's?
No.
No?
The guy, it's right next to me, it says, stop abortion now.
Yeah. I have. I found it a very convenient place to stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a turnpike or something. McDonald's, the men's room or the ladies' room.
Yes, very, very convenient.
Very convenient. But I don't want to just single out McDonald's. Let me just say, if I'm going to have a roadside turnpike abortion, I would go to Burger King, Wendy's, Arby's.
Right.
Chick-fil-A, perhaps.
Anywhere with a changing table.
Do they have any food down there for you, Tom?
No.
Like maybe some hot dogs and mustard?
No.
Is there somebody speaking?
Yeah, the people behind me.
Well, I mean, is there somebody speaking on a speaker?
Yeah, it's Roe.
Yes.
Their office building.
Who do you like better, Roe or Wade?
Wade.
Can you, Tom, repeat after me?
Yeah.
Say, I believe in a woman's right to choose.
Fight for joy.
Oh, damn it.
So close.
So very close.
Try that again.
All right, Tom, try it one more time.
Yeah.
And the last part is right to choose. So let's repeat after me. I believe. Louder. In a woman's.
A woman.
Right to choose.
Fight for choice.
No. No, there's, yeah, it's just not going to happen.
It's too big a task.
Mm-hmm. Say this, Tom. Put the stick in the stream.
What?
Put the stick in the stream.
Put the stick in the stream.
You got that one.
Yes.
Positive is good.
Dennis, hey, I got one.
What?
Oh, okay.
Dennis Murphy, you suck.
Yeah, you say that louder.
Dennis Murphy, you suck.
Dennis Murphy is an abortionist.
Yeah.
Say that. Tom?
What? Dennis Murphy's abortion.
Oh, wow. That's even worse. How long have you been marching, Tom? Sense of time?
How long have you been marching? Since 1:30.
Oh, he's been riding.
Been marching for about an hour.
Do they have you dressed in your army clothes?
No.
All right, Tom, repeat after me really loud now, okay? A woman should have...
Good arm?
No, should have... It's not going to work. It's just not
too big
being processed.
Yeah. Well, thank you, though, for calling in from the rally in downtown D.C. today. Newsmakers, you bet, on the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, live.
We're there.
Yep, we're there.
You having fun?
Yep.
Are you wearing a button?
No, I'm not.
All right,
buddy. Friends, we've just been talking to Tom Gavin. Live from Washington, D.C.
Yes, over the line, guys. Tom marching down there for the pro-choice people.
Guys, if only Tom's mom would have had that option available.
Hey, Tom, one more. I'm just going to try it. I have to. All right. Tom?
Yeah?
Top of your lungs, now go, save Roe v. Wade.
Save Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, okay. Close enough. That'll work.
All right. Bye, Tommy.
Bye, guys.
Roe v. Wade.
Wow. Hey,
really? Here's our salute to Roe versus Wade.
No more hangers! What wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers ever?
Right.
What wire hangers doing in this closet?
Answer me.
Answer me!
There you go. All right, well, let's start.
If following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6 p.m. or between noon and 4 p.m.
The Don and Mike Show.
Please check your locale listings.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, how about that Tom Gavin, huh?
You know what? This is crap.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, we appreciate
I cut you off there saying we appreciate you.
Hello.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Just barely stepped on Dave Grohl there. Sorry about that, Dave. We'll start today fighting poo.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
All right, got some poo fighter action.
Pretty good.
Things going pretty good.
Pretty good.
And you're loving your new intro. The door's open. You're not speaking. No, not until the intro plays.
The man's to be okay. In the
God, you're ugly. God, you're ugly. God, you're ugly. God, you're ugly.
Hi. It's me, Super Juice.
Isn't that better?
How's
your histamine?
Pricks.
A lot of them.
And don't delete that out. I'll say it again, because I'm talking about the many pricks that Rob had to have today when he went to the doctor to find out that he's allergic.
Needle pricks.
To everything.
Right. Yes, everything.
How many pricks at one time did you have in you?
I took 75 pricks today.
75
oh,
pricks.
My God.
75 pricks at
that
once.
That must have been painful.
It was. I was full of all kinds of fluids. Horrible.
Wow. Sounds like a board meeting.
It does.
CBS.
Good afternoon, Mr.
75 pricks.
Everything, they scream, and everything's bad. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Artinger, and all the ships at sea. Now broadcasting under new parameters, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
You forgot.
He just remembered me.
Right.
He just reminded me.
Let's enjoy him.
How awful.
Let's sit on him.
The end of Friday's show was for the whole Joe debacle. Well, let's try to move past. Ever forward.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're goddamn right. This is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode. Everybody on this
Monday.
01-23-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
No, listen. Buzz ain't retarded, and you can call this show anytime you want from anywhere in America. Phone number 877-365-3636. If you're listening on Free FM, taste sensation sweeping the nation. You can call us at 202-432-1067. And if you're on the internet and you can't use an 877, that number is 800-636-1067. Oh, need that stream, Robbie. It'd be nice now, too. Get a nice stream Foo Fighters mix going. Ah, our warm internet stream. Which, incidentally, we saw the dogs drinking out of today.
Oh, so, was it safe for them? You know dogs.
Dogs, yeah.
You know. Metabolism.
Just go to Don and Mike's website. There you go. .com. And click on Listen Live. And you'll get our fabulous internet stream that the dogs are drinking today.
Oh, very good.
Oh, and let me see if you want to email us during the show.
Uh-huh.
Email at donandmikewebsite.com. And the show is also available for podcast. If you go to iTunes, click on Talk Radio and subscribe to the show. And right now, even though this kills CBS, it's FREE.
Yeah, you can also go to Don and Mike on the iTunes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, just click us in.
It's absolutely. Yeah,
way
up there.
In the search engine. Gosh, not that it mattered. I feel like Regis Philbin when he would hold up his stupid Christmas album, and it would be number 200, like on the Billboard charts.
Hey, how about that, boy?
But I did look this morning, and among the overall, not just talk radio,
yes,
but the overall podcast
downloads, yes,
of which there are, you know, tens of thousands.
Oh, all sorts of stuff.
Ours is in the top 100 right now.
Very, very cool. That's nice.
So keep going to the thing and put the thing in your thing so you can hear when you're doing your thing.
Right. It's so modern.
You know, you put the thing in the thing, and then you get all the stuff on your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have trouble navigating the thing.
I use the thing like I was telling you to exercise. I absolutely could not do my treadmill stuff without the iPod, without the music. Could not happen.
When you brought up the fact that you exercise without watching TV, that you use the... do you close your eyes sometimes when you're...
I've fallen off. That's when I hold on. But yes, yeah. I do close my eyes if I really get going.
Yeah. And then you kind of get into the music too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very cool because you can almost do it rhythmically. It's very neat.
Now, Mike, you were actually on the treadmill today.
I totally... you motivated me by what you said.
Mm-hmm.
What also motivated me is that I've become a tub of goo again. And I completely fell off the wagon and was, streaming down the path of let myself go again. And I had to catch back up because I fell way, way off my diet. Not all my way back, but damn close to it. So I was really motivated, and I did that today. Got the iPod, went on the website, got some new stuff put on there, and I plugged it in, put the good old headphones on, and
not the little things you put in your ears.
Right. I do the elliptical, or as one trainer that I had one time say, yeah, you do the chick machine. So I do the chick machine instead of the treadmill. Hey, I don't care. I'm sweating by the end of it. That's all that matters to me. And I did the eyes closed, and it was very, very close. But I was motivated by Don on Friday, but also motivated by me getting on the scale. I had planned this yesterday because I ate so badly yesterday. I had planned to get back on the scale today once and for all,
right,
first thing in the morning, and see what had happened. And it was not good. Yeah. Remember when I had gotten down to 266?
I do. That was great.
Good time.
I'm very happy to report that I am now down to 283. 283.
That's
the highest I was 296. I'm right back in the middle. I've gained half the weight back and more that I lost before.
That's
I'm not
good.
Happy about that, but it did, motivate. I knew I was going to be that weight. I knew I was going to be that heavy. And I will tell you when I lose. I will tell you when I gain. I will tell you, in the middle. And I didn't gain that much weight when I came back from my vacation, but I've still been continuously feeding, particularly during this broadcast.
Really?
And that's what I had to stop. That's why I got my little, well-balanced nutritional thing here that I'm eating, my little sandwich that's only a certain amount of calories, and I'm sticking to that, and I'm not going to go, forage for different nuts and everything while I'm in the building. It was really getting completely out of hand.
Wow.
And then yesterday was like the bad eating day when I just threw complete caution to the wind because I knew that, I mean, you get to, you always have to get to that point of motivation. And if you yo-yo like I do, hey, sometimes it's going to come back.
Yo-yo-yo.
Maybe it won't.
Yo-yo ma.
Maybe you'll be committed to it and the weight will stay off. But I know now that I lost that 30 pounds and I did it effectively and it took me a while, but I know that's the right way to do that. So I'm getting right back to doing that religiously. And the only reason I gained the weight back is because I wasn't doing that religiously and it's not a bad way to eat. So I say that. I will check back in with you when I have good news to report.
Please.
Or
okay.
I will check back in if you consider that all this is BS. And I know, Don.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that my detractors will be out there saying, hey, I knew this was going to happen.
Naysayers.
I knew. But you know what? I don't talk an awful lot about my weight, good or bad, really. I know that you've used it in the past as a motivational tool. And you talk about it very infrequently now since you've lost since you made it to kind of your goal weight.
Yeah, I try not to because I don't want to bust your balls. And you've been doing good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that tries to lose a lot of weight, and I know you want to lose a lot of weight just
right,
like I did.
Right, right.
You hit that wall. And
I
think it's healthy you talk about it on the radio.
It's the thing about it is that I'm a living proof of the fact that when you can't do it kind of like halfway.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really, the only reason I lost the 30 pounds the last time was because I did it and I did it every day. And I didn't have weekends to go, hey, whatever you can. No, you really stick with it
all the time.
And now they will tell you also you occasionally want to give yourself that moment where you enjoy something. Well, that's fine, but I'm talking about you can't on a daily basis, cheat a little bit, and
right.
and you know, hedge here, hedge there, because even if you think it's not a lot, even if you think just putting like a little mayo on a sandwich instead of mustard is okay because it was a real small amount, that's BS. It doesn't work like that. So we'll see what happens.
Sure.
I knew what I was going to see when I got on the scale today, but
yeah,
I was still pissed off.
Yeah.
Just to save you the trouble of phone calls, as someone who's been in this situation.
Yes.
I won't press you for details. Who cares? But we both know that you don't gain 20 pounds back by only just putting a little mayo on your sandwich.
No, that's right. What my point is, hold on, ask.
I know I ate big too. I am trying to save you from the person that called and said,
but you said it. I know that's true.
Then do you want to take phone calls?
I'll do whatever you want. I'll do anything you would like.
Anything anybody dishes out to start in this controversial manner today.
Mm-hmm.
Negative. No, I've got plenty of stuff to tell you about.
You know what you did a minute ago?
People
can't see this on the radio. You had there it is again, the little smirk that you can't suppress it. It wasn't what you said. Is that I saw the little? I was talking about that, and I saw the little smirk, and you just felt you had to say, "I know what I've done to gain the weight back. I know it. I'm aware of it.
Okay.
I don't need you to tell me that I've been bad." You know, it's like it's not that you think that I'm saying that. What my point was. Now let me hear me out. My point was.
Yes.
That it starts that way, and then you fall off the wagon. Because once you do substitute the little bit of mayo instead of mustard, by the neck, that will take your metabolism. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And then it begins to, you know, that same day you go, oh, well, I had that. But really, to me, if you would make that change,
but the key is
your
mayo.
System starts to crave what?
The key is the mayo.
The mayo.
It all started
with the mayo.
Mayo is the gateway for you?
I believe yes. Mayo and those nuts that I eat all the time here.
The almonds?
I have to bring one of those home today, one of those packages home today.
Why?
Because my lovely nutritionist who I sometimes sleep with, is going to let me know how bad those nuts were, because I know she's right about that, too. You know, because I know you like almonds, Buzz, you're a big, but I was eating more of them than I should.
They can actually help you lose weight, not to mention lower your cholesterol. These particular ones have a little sugar in them. That's not good.
I was eating the ones back in Rob's office.
Your almonds are
the one where Rob has the six cases of them back in his office.
Actually, lose weight eating almonds.
Let me just say, if Rob's got them in his office, I guarantee they're the kind that have like sugar and stuff.
But Rob doesn't eat a lot of them. Rob really, I ate most of them.
Oh.
In fairness to Rob, I'd be amazed to think that Rob even ate like one box of those things. Well, they're a lot in a box, but that is it, between those and putting the wrong kind of thing on the sandwich. That's what did. Now you can have fat free mayonnaise. That's a different story. But what's the point of that?
Okay.
The hell is the point of that anyway?
All right. Well, how are you anyway?
I'm great today. I feel fantastic today. I really feel great. I feel fantastic. All right. Here they are. Let me look. These are the ones that I ate. Save me the trouble.
If you see maltodextrin, that's sugar.
Potassium, cholesterol, protein. I don't see any of that.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. I can't read this crap.
I can.
Calories, 170. Not that much, really.
Right.
For a little package, but if you...
But how many would you have?
I'd have three or four.
Christ, it's like 1,000 calories.
Cholesterol,
yeah.
Fat.
During a show.
What?
It contains 2 cups of pudding.
I know it's not 1,000, it's like 800 calories.
That, there you have it. And I didn't think it was that big a deal. That was the trouble.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right there.
There you go.
Right
there. Mayonnaise and the almonds.
Yeah.
Be careful with your nuts.
Now, you're saying that I would go out and pick out every night? No, that's what did it.
Hold on.
It was every single day.
Hold on.
Yes.
No.
What?
No. Jesus Christ. I don't want to get in an argument with you. You're my best buddy. I'm not. But no, you can't say that the reason that you gained back 20 pounds, and I know you're being absolutely honest.
Right.
And I don't want to get into your eating habits or anybody else's.
Okay.
But the reason that you gained back 20 pounds is not because you put a little mayonnaise on a sandwich, or because you had four packages of almonds a day. I mean, if you only added 800 calories a day, you wouldn't gain 20 pounds.
You only add 800 calories a day. That could be like a pound to 2 pounds per week.
So, but other than the almonds and the mayonnaise,
yeah,
that's it. Those are the only reasons. Other than that, you've not eaten other crap.
No, I've all of my misbehaving, I've eaten that, like, you know, you'd see me eat a Snickers bar here,
right,
and do that. My bad behavior, outside of that, my bad behavior was at the radio station.
What did you have yesterday?
That was my see, you're such a ball buster. You are so good at it. And I'm not telling you. You're putting it in a context where you're making me defend myself. And I'm trying to be honest.
I'm trying to be honest with you, too. Jesus Christ, and I know because I did the exact same thing. I swear on Frida's grave, I did the exact same thing. I don't know what it is that you're eating.
No, if you're asking me to say, was this the only thing I did, that's not true. There were other times when I would eat badly. But the big reason that I was because I would do this all the time. This would be every day. And I got into a situation where I didn't think what I was eating was that bad. And when you eat this many of them, when you're munching on these almonds, it is bad. It's extremely bad. And I would do that all the time. Most of my bad behavior was this. Because when I go home at night, I would eat the Weight Watchers dinner that was prepared for me, and I wouldn't eat after that. But were there times also on the weekend when I would eat badly? Absolutely. That would happen. But not nearly as much as what I did with this. What I did. Because I told you that I had a big-ass cheeseburger getting ready for this diet yesterday, that doesn't count as doing that every weekend. I didn't do that every weekend. What I did most of the time was
triple,
this.
Triple checkers.
There. Yes.
I think
it's out there.
We all feel better now.
It's out there. Now are we happy? We got it out there.
We
out there. You said it. There, triple cheddars, chip checkers, cheeseburger. That's what I did. I had it. I did. I'm guilty.
I think you're giving the almonds the bad rap here.
Oh, you're thinking that I cheated and I didn't. I didn't, like, I ran out because I was under a lot more scrutiny outside of the radio station than I was here. You know, and I never asked you to come in the office. If you see me doing this, tell me no. I would do this. Nobody lets, you know, nobody gets on me for eating this.
No.
But I didn't realize until I read this, and I know what, you know, and three or four
right
is being conservative a lot of the time, because some of the time it would be a lot more. I didn't realize it was that many calories.
I eat two cups a day.
Two cups.
Of nuts and almonds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your point, Jack LaLanne? What are you trying to say?
Actually, they help you burn calories. Almonds one of the best foods you can eat for losing weight.
I think my girlfriend might beg to differ with you on
that. There are different diets, and some count calories.
Yeah. Well, this is Weight Watchers, which counts calories, or you do the type of point thing.
Right. There are lots of ways.
You know, I'm getting this subtle crap. Rob,
your way is good.
Rob, I swear to God, I'm ready. I'm going to go on your plan. I'm going to just say F it all, and I'm not going to talk about
what
it anymore
mean,
at all.
This isn't working?
Beautiful.
How dare you?
I swear to God.
How dare you?
Okay.
What?
I think we're ready to go.
The pausing to it. Yeah.
Listen, this now appears to be between you and Buzz.
Yes. What do you want me to say?
I don't know. I just wanted to. Can we move on now?
I burned about 300 calories today, which is not a lot, but I exercised, and I hadn't done that. I lost all my weight before with doing very little exercise, and now I'm going to see what happens when I do a combination of both, and I'm going to see if I can get back to where I was quicker
and then keep
steamrolling. And you know what?
If you
don't goddamn well think I'm going to do it now, I'm going to do it now. And
let's drop those
sprint it.
Killer almonds. Those almonds are...
Are you both saying that I should not be slamming the almonds? That I shouldn't be talking badly about...
No,
because I ate a lot of them, and anything you... I'm back on the judo. That's
okay,
right.
Hold on. Here's my only thing with the almonds, Ed, because you're making them the number one enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You really think the 20 pounds that you've put on is predominantly because you're eating of almonds.
Why are you giving me credit for putting on more pounds than I did, though?
Oh, I'm sorry. How much?
I was down to 266.
Okay, then I apologize.
Okay, all right. I mean, I won't take more credit for losing
more.
No,
I agree. Okay.
So I don't want to take
more. Then what's the actual amount? So I don't.
266 to 283.
Okay, well, 15 pounds.
Right.
Okay. Let's round it off to 15.
15 pounds.
Okay. You think this 15 pounds you've gained only from eating almonds?
Did I say that?
No, but you've made it sound like almonds are the main culprit.
As far as the most calories that I've taken, is like in addition to eating my regular good diet that I'm supposed to eat, this was the cheat. More than anything else, this was the cheat.
You're in a restaurant.
Right.
Okay. Let me just throw out a couple of things. When we're talking about the almonds.
Okay.
I mean, got it. This is a cliche. If we're going to keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember in the last week or so, peach cobbler with ice cream on it.
Yes.
The not the one, but the two days
of
going and getting three cheeseburgers before the show. The candy bars that you were hiding from your girlfriend.
I'm not saying that I haven't had other cheats. I'm saying this. If you're saying what is the main cheat, what's the thing you did most often and most egregiously? What did you do? It was these little things. As much as it might be hard for you to believe, this is what I did because this is what I started with. This is what I started with, and then you creep on the other stuff. No, did I gain the whole all the weight back because I only did? I never said that. I never said that. You're painting me into a corner of being some sort of denial when I know exactly what I ate. I know every time I ate badly. I know every time that I cheated. But I'm saying the main cheat, which I did almost every single day, was these little things. And because I ate so much of them, that affected me adversely.
Here's my bottom line.
I'm not saying that I didn't do other bad behavior.
Is that if you didn't do the other stuff, you didn't eat the other stuff, and all you ate was your almonds, you wouldn't have gained 15 pounds.
Yeah, you're probably right. There's no way I can disagree with that.
So then why make the almonds the bad guy? Because they really can be a good-for-you snack.
Well, if you eat them, yeah. I didn't eat them like a good-for-you snack. I ate them badly. I ate too many of them, that's all. I ate them too many. What? I'm in here trying to be honest.
I know you are.
But I never busted your balls about your weight.
I know you
did. Did I ever bust your balls about your weight?
When you were
big and fat?
No, you didn't. And I am not trying to bust yours now.
Right.
And there are many who would say I am still big and fat.
Mm-hmm.
I still weigh 190 pounds. I mean, I am not thin by any stretch of the imagination.
But I watch you every single day. And I watch you maintain, you know, at least when we're in here, because who knows what anybody does outside, but you've lost the weight to prove it. And I watch you do that, and the food comes in here, and you say, no, I'm not going to have that. I think maybe I could count on one hand in 5 years where, you know, something's come in where you said, I'll try a little of something. You never do.
And I'm not busting your balls either. You're the one that brought it up. Mike, I'm only standing up for the almonds.
And you know what?
I really don't think the almonds are the bad guys here.
Let me tell you why I'm against these almonds for me.
Okay.
Because I want to make it really, really clear that I did not simply eat almonds to gain the weight back. I never said that because I did do a lot of other bad behavior. But every single, you know, other day or so, I would eat these things and I would eat so many of them that it would be... You know, everything else I did that was eating well was thrown out the window. And what I'm saying is little tiny cheats like that can screw you up.
I have good news for you.
What's that?
Free FM no longer has the Redskins contract. Next year, there will be no more almonds.
They're drying up.
No,
but it's just, you know, we had them around here for when I lost the 30 pounds. I never touched them. And then, you know, when I started touching those, that's what I'm saying more than anything. That's how it starts. It starts with little crap like this, and then you end up going and having the peach cobbler.
Okay, I listened. Listen, ass, I'm proud of you for talking about it.
No, you listen, ass.
I'm proud of you for talking about it.
I don't know why I said that, but you listen, ass.
I'm proud of you for talking about it on the radio, ass. I think that you will get to your goal, ass, but...
That's a long way to go.
You know, it's just...
I'm right now, I've got to do some work to get back to even, you know, halfway to my goal, which is where I was. And that's you know.
Made a good start, though. You did it. You could do it again.
But well, I'm aware of the fact that I will be subjecting myself to public ridicule by doing this because I use that as a motivational tool, too, as you did, too. You probably use that more than anybody else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry if I'm not going to say because I know you were mad. I'm sorry if this has screwed up the beginning of the show. because I have plenty to tell you about.
How is this screwed up the beginning? Now you're going to blame this discussion about my weight on like messing up a broadcast?
No. I meant from your standpoint.
I'm not feeling bad enough.
Okay, hold on. From my standpoint, this has been an outstanding opening segment. Uh-huh. I would tell Rob to log this for the best of.
Right.
So in other words, it has been entertaining, too.
Of course it is. I mean,
it's one thing.
I'm sorry to you on a personal level, because you said to me, like, you know, I never busted your balls when you were big, and I'm not busting your balls. That wasn't my intent when we started the show today to talk about any of this.
No, if this has been entertaining, I couldn't handle both. I couldn't handle, you know, the fact that I'm a fat tub of goo, and the fact that I kind of got called out on the Ahmed issue, and the fact that I effed up the beginning of the show. That just feels...
Too
much for a boy to handle on a Monday.
You did not F up the show in the least.
No, it's fine. And, you know, listen, and I'll talk to you later, Burbank,
all
about
right.
the almonds, because, you know, and I'm not offended by anybody. I wouldn't bring it up if I didn't expect to get crap about it.
Right.
I really wouldn't. But just remember, that's how it starts. This little bag, that's how it starts. All the other crap followed, including yesterday, when I had the big cheeseburger, the triple cheeseburger.
Okay, here's the last question I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Before you had the triple cheeseburger.
Yes.
Did you have any almonds?
Yesterday?
Yes.
No, sir.
So it was not the almonds' fault yesterday?
No.
Okay. Almonds are off the hook for yesterday.
Almonds are off the hook for most weekends. Almonds are only on the hook when I'm here at the radio station. And they're down the hallway. What?
Don't you come in most weekends?
To get the almonds?
No, just to hang out.
When Beth Ann was here.
Well, of course.
I don't do it as much now. I don't do it as much. But I sure like those almonds so bad.
They're a gateway food.
And I'll bring these home.
Very good. For analysis.
There you go. All right.
And I'd really appreciate it if someone would throw them all away so the temptation's not here. Or hide them from me.
Throw them all away. We should send them to Sally Struthers or something.
That's right. Feed children.
Yeah, that's right. One of those things.
But I do feel good today. I feel terrific today.
Good.
Because, I mean, the exercise part of that, everybody, you know, it's what everybody says. It's, you know, everybody knows now. It's written about. It's talked about. Everybody knows what the rules are. Mm-hmm. There's only one way to do it. You can't do it half-assed. And if you do it half-assed, you bounce back,
right,
and gain the weight back.
Right.
It's good for your head anyway.
It is.
It's good for your head. Mm-hmm. Get a lot of crap out of you there when you're on that thing.
You do. I mean, as far as just the way I feel physically today, just one day, even getting back to exercising again, I feel 10 times better.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, how many sandwiches do you think you get out of one of those jars of mayonnaise?
Sandwiches that, like, what size? Like a Costco jar?
Talking about.
Yeah, I mean, one of those average jars of mayonnaise, about how many sandwiches will you get out of it?
Well, you know, what's interesting is when I was banging your mother, I was talking to her about that, and...
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
I got to go full
I know
throttle
you do.
Here.
I know
there's
you
no
do.
Way I'm going to be able
You're
to do
the defensive
it
crouch right now.
I really have to, because it's just the way it's going to go.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
There's nothing wrong with mayo shots and almond chasers.
Very good.
It's a great diet.
Thank you very much.
And 286, that's an ideal weight if you're 7'2".
That's too funny to get mad at.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Thank you.
He did the math.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How come you rounded it off as 15 pounds when it's actually 17 pounds?
Yeah, it's 17 pounds.
As Mike said, it's 17, and I said let's round it off to 15 since I had been rounding it off incorrectly the other way and said 20.
20, right.
Oh, okay. Talk to you later, bye.
By the way, something, what do you care?
He's gone.
Oh.
It was hitting wrong. And it's all right. It's all right. Bring it on.
Hello.
Motivational.
Right. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. I love your show.
Thanks.
Hey, Mike, I thought you couldn't eat nuts because you got that diverticulitis.
You know, I really have. I've never looked back on that. I actually don't have any problems with that. The rest of the
same here.
The rest of my system is doing pretty well. So, I never have any problems with that. Oh, my cramps. Cramping, feeling faint.
Hello. Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Mike,
yeah.
I heard you lost 30 pounds from your belly to your ass.
What?
What does that mean?
I don't even get that.
What does that mean, sir? What does that joke mean?
You lost.
What? I really require an explanation. Do you get it?
No, I don't get it. Nobody does. I'm dissecting it now.
You lost 30 pounds from your belly to your ass.
From your
you mean between?
However it got there.
I don't know. No, he doesn't know either.
I
am not even going to bust my chops.
What?
I think I get it.
You get it? What?
He's saying that you lost 30 pounds from your stomach, but it made your ass big. It moved. But you have a great ass.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate
it. Glad he called.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Incidentally, I want this tape. I want this saved.
Thank
I want this
that.
Saved.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The podcast.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know this bit about Mike's fat woes is one of the most entertaining radio bits of all time.
Yeah, well, we wrote it over the weekend.
Of all time.
It's really terrific. The sketch writers, Don and I, got together and wrote it.
Writers, Sally Buddy, Rob. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah, Don and Mike, hi.
You know what? I got to stick up for Mike here because as a fellow fat guy, I know how hard it is to lose weight.
Yeah.
But you know what, Mike? Just keep going with that ab lounger because I'm sure you just take the clothes off there you got hanging on there and just actually jump back on it. You know, you'll be all right. And why don't you dangle some almonds in front of you while you're on that treadmill so it keeps going a little further.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, that's the worst kind, you know, where they start out as your buddy and then they're just coming in with the counter punch right there.
The ab lounger.
Yeah, ab lounger.
I forgot about that. Wait, you decided that was a rip-off, right?
No, I decided it might have put me in the emergency room.
Wow.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
But other than that, it's a great product.
Thank goodness that didn't happen.
I forgot.
No real serious back trouble until that day.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hey, man. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Hey, I was wondering, is it time for Celebrity Fit Club 4 now?
All right, everybody.
Yeah, thanks to all that reality programming.
I think it's we've got you. Let me just try it. One of these has got to be someone supporting you.
That's right.
Hello, Don.
I think
Show.
Everybody in a way is supporting me. They just don't know it.
Right. Hello.
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 Hi, guys.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, about your weight.
Yeah.
Remember, you can't drive a railroad spike with a tack hammer.
And there you go.
Is that kind of a sex thing?
Well, yeah, sort of.
So you're saying you like big men?
I do, as a matter of fact.
You know, Don, you were looking for a support call for me, and that was it.
I think that did it.
She's saying she likes big guys, you know.
She also dropped the H word?
Yes, she did.
Click.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Let it go.
Good luck with the diet.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was, yes, Rob, she was big. Thanks. She was
big in her heart.
Okay.
She was big, but, you know, there are plenty of people that are big.
That's right.
She'll catch big. Your breath and call back.
Big. I shouldn't say big. That's denial also.
Fat. You know who's big? Kim Martucci from Channel 9.
I finally saw her today.
She's big.
She is big.
She's not fat.
No, she is not. I don't believe she is fat. She is big, though.
She could have put on a pair of shoulder pads and played linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday.
Cool. And you pointed it out and said, look for her hands.
Oh, and
and she's got Frankenstein hands.
I mean, I know everybody has seen the Jerry Seinfeld with the man hands.
Right.
But really, check out this chick on Channel 9 on WUSA here in D.C.
There's a play in the championship game yesterday where Hasselbeck was almost knocked to the ground, and he held onto the football. He was kind of like off balance, and the football was like an inch off the ground, and his hands were huge. This chick's hands are bigger.
And
bigger hands than an NFL quarterback.
Hasselbeck, first off, really, you hate to say this to a guy, you should think about a hairpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or he should just shave the sides. Shave the sides.
It is pretty close cropped on the side.
And also, Matt Hasselbeck, what the guy needs desperately, in my humble opinion, is a dialect coach. Because
really? He
borders on that Clay Aiken, Jeff Garcia, I might be just a little swishy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Did you hear him after the game?
Yep.
Well, it's just great for everybody in Seattle, and it's to look up in the stands, and the 12th man. I'm blessed to be here.
Well, he could look real smart like Jake DeLome.
Jake DeLome. You know, they're all, I mean, listen, even Big Ben. Now admit this, Steelers, all you Steelers fans, even you have to admit, the guy looks borderline retarded with when he's got the hat on backwards.
Right.
He's got like the Grizzly Adams beard that's really not coming in all the way.
That game yesterday was the Grizzly Adams battle.
Yeah, oh yeah, and you had, right, what's his name? You had dumb Jake Plummer.
He looks homeless.
He does. Yep.
He seriously does. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with having a hairstyle any way you like it, but that's complete neglect. I mean, I looked at him from the back. It looked like complete neglect.
Trying to clean it up.
And yesterday, the phone is ringing during all of the games. And everybody, you know, mainly I'm getting calls from people saying, do you believe how bad these games suck?
Right.
You know, and do you think that Carolina has a chance to come back? You know, do you think? Anyway, I'm getting calls from some people that I know in the Baltimore area, right, who are big Ravens fans.
Right.
And I was amazed. Now, the Ravens aren't in it. They're out of it.
Right.
Right?
Long out of it.
I get a call, and it's this guy, John, that I know through other people in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't work for the Ravens. It's like not one of these Modell guys. He's just a guy in Baltimore. He's,
okay,
he's a city cop.
Right.
And get the call, and it's like, hello? And he says, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing very well. He's one of the calls that I was going to return over the weekend, blah, blah. These are facts you don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had called him, and he called me back. And he said, are you watching the game? And I said, yeah. He said, what do you say? I said, I think it's pretty boring. Pittsburgh's killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, got a very heavy Baltimore accent, mm-hmm, said, you know what? I could take just about anything except those effing Steelers. Man, really, I hate the Steelers. And then I remember that in all of my trips to Baltimore, to go to see the Ravens up there, and when you and I have been up there, Mike, to do our show and have people throw beer on us,
right,
and things like that, that's the one thing. We've always identified that it's Baltimore versus D.C.,
yeah,
but really, it's Baltimore versus Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we get any calls at all today from Baltimore, these fans will back me up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That it's almost like that T-shirt. I know you've seen those dumb T-shirts. I have. My two favorite teams are the Washington Redskins, mm-hmm, and whoever's playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Except
Pittsburgh has the same footprint that the Cowboys used to have.
Except
they I think because of the past successes,
uh-huh,
because they have a lot of fans in different parts of the country, it's kind of like that.
I think the hate is there in Baltimore more for Pittsburgh,
hmm,
than it is for anything else. And you know what I love most?
Do you think it's more there than there is for the Redskins?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so, and I think I have my finger right on the G-spot of Baltimore. And, boy, you need a lot of Domino sugar to get, mm-hmm, there.
We should hear them squeal.
But, yeah, I think so. And keep in mind, we're also heard in Pittsburgh. So I don't want to badmouth the Steelers here.
No, we're not.
But
I know when I used to be a season ticket holder for the Washington hockey team for the Capitals down here, the Pittsburgh fans, more than any other fans, would come to the Pittsburgh games from Pittsburgh,
wow,
and they would really take over the opposing team's arena.
And
I don't know if that's, you know, was a tribute to the Capitals fans or whether it was, but the Pittsburgh sports fan is very,
anyway,
very intense.
So I get this call from this Baltimore City cop who's, you know, we've played phone tag and he's watching the game, and it's like, the guy seriously is pissed.
Mm.
Say, why are you so mad? Because the Steelers are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, anything would be better than the Steelers. Anybody. Cleveland, New England. I mean, you start, you know, Oakland, Kansas City, Denver. What's wrong with the Denver Broncos? I mean, the guy was seriously
very frustrated,
pissed. Yeah. And he was watching the game with some other police guys that I met up in Baltimore, and they all wanted to get on and say hello. And as each of them got on to say hello, and one of them, God, I wish I could remember these guys' names. It was like five guys. And they've had like, there were four that I had met and one that I hadn't met.
Right.
And then the last one, they said, oh, and this guy is, you know, Pete. You didn't meet him, but he wants to say hi. I'm like, sure. He's like, hey, listen. And the guy starts like this. He says, I'm so sorry to hear about your wife.
Yeah.
You know, your relationship meant a lot to all of us. I said, well, listen, thanks. You guys have been great. Are you watching this game? Like, there's no segue there.
Right.
It's just,
mm-hmm,
boy, this thing with your wife was awful. And then, again.
Next topic.
Incredibly out of his mind mad.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like, just waiting for anything. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that
out
there.
Do you think it's, we've been to enough Super Bowls where we've analyzed fans from many different teams.
Right.
I think it's going to be one of those Super Bowls where
the Seattle contingent will be overwhelmed.
Oh, well, first off, Pittsburgh.
And I'm not talking about the teams. I'm talking about the fans.
I mean, you could stand on your front doorstep in Pittsburgh, literally, and take a loogie on Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a three-hour car drive away.
Right.
So it's going to be very close to begin with.
It's going to be black and gold and all over Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And who wants... Of course, you're talking about people who live in Seattle anyway. So for them, Detroit, I guess, would be like going to Hawaii. But I was
going to
say...
Going anywhere from Seattle is like going to Hawaii.
Say, who the hell would want to go to Detroit?
Right. I think you'd be afraid, mostly.
One of the people that I spoke with over the weekend said to me, are you and Mike going to... He said, I love your Super Bowl shows. Are you going this year? And I said, no. And they said, oh, the goddamn company you work for. And I said, no. The company's got it sold. We turned it down.
Right.
He said, why would you turn... I said, hello. It's in Detroit.
Yeah.
It's in Detroit.
And you know,
check on us when it's back in Miami.
You know, a lot of Seattle fans won't go because they only like football when it's played in a stadium that has arches on it.
You hate Seattle now? You hate the Seattle fans?
That's the gayest stadium in the NFL.
You didn't like Paul Allen getting up there and waving his terrible towel?
I like the guy standing next to Paul Allen that handed him the terrible towel after he put the 12 in the sky.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, it's Ravens fan from Baltimore, Sean.
Yes, hi, Sean.
Hey, Don. Cool. Yeah, we hate them too because, you know, they try to play smash-mouth football like the Ravens. They can't even compare to us.
They're like the Raiders.
You hate Pittsburgh more than any other team.
More than any other team.
There you go.
That's the vibe I've always got.
Is that the, I mean, the Ravens?
Every Ravens fan. That's,
okay, so the Ravens, although...
You have that right on the head.
Although new to the league, still relatively new. I mean, they've had their great successes.
They've had 10 years to build
They've had
Patriots.
10 years, so there's that would be the prime rivalry with the Steelers?
I think so.
Yeah, I would say so.
Hmm. Hate them more.
There you have it.
Hold on. The question.
Makes me like the Ravens more.
Mm-hmm. Do you hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, or do you hate Washington, the Redskins more?
I'd say the Steelers. I had moved out with Santana Moss in my fantasy league, and I won.
That's right.
Okay.
40.
All right, thank you.
Cool.
All right, see you later.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye.
I look at really now, even though I don't know the Seattle fans, I don't know the type of fan, I look at the Seattle fan as like the guy that shows up with the like the jacket with the tiny little Seahawk on it, and then he, you know, has some guy that comes in that's got his face painted black and gold that just kicks the crap out of him.
Mm-hmm.
These are the fans. And I'm not saying I like the Pittsburgh fans more. It's just it would seem to me that's the difference between the fans.
Here we go. Your TV terms. Your Pittsburgh fan is Kevin James.
Mm-hmm.
And your Seattle fan has got to be like a fag like Kelsey Grammer.
Niles Crane.
John Lithgow.
His brother.
Hold on.
Doing Mike Campbell's Selects commercial.
Mike Mull.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Why settle when you can select? And meanwhile, you know, the guy, hey, shut up, ass. Yeah. Because even if you're not a steel worker, even if you're not part of that whole blue collar experience in Pittsburgh, you take on that persona. That's the whole, you know, we're tough fans.
Hello, Don and Mike. Boy, I wish those games were better yesterday.
They suck.
Because you know what that is? That's like, for me, that's the letdown of letdowns. Because now,
yeah, not only is it ending, but you're watching games like that
stink. And it's like, you just want the games to be good.
Yeah.
I just got the feeling that Seattle's going to get killed by Pittsburgh.
I do too.
Hello.
Hi, one of the things that makes Cleveland fans, or I'm sorry, the Baltimore fans not like the Steelers is they are the old Cleveland Browns, and that was a big rivalry.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
Goes way back then.
The Modells.
Thank you, dum-dum. I didn't know that.
The Modells against the Roonies.
I did not know that.
Hold on a second. One more call, and it says take this one. Important. Oh. Let's see if it's important. Hello, important caller. Oh, dear.
Hello?
Hey, this is Dan.
Yes, Dan.
Hey, I'll give you the only good reason to go to Detroit.
Okay.
And it's really for Mike. Is about 2 years ago they put in casino gambling, and it's just like you're in Vegas.
Except right. You're in Michigan. Goodbye.
So there's. Goodbye. Isn't Detroit close to Toronto?
Detroit, huh? Rock City, Mike. Mm-hmm.
Can you get to Toronto pretty quickly?
Yeah.
I would think so.
You got to do is just go in the tunnel. Just like on Hogan's Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You lift up a tree trunk.
And then you get there, you're out there, and you just have to, like, when the searchlight comes by, you have to be careful.
Right. And then you're in Canada.
Very scary.
Got a break. Boy, I got a lot of weekend stuff to tell you about.
Wow.
Screwing up my house and then fixing my house. News about sex.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Sex.
Yeah.
I did not get laid this weekend, but I did discuss it with someone, and I think you'll find it very interesting who I discussed it with.
Really?
At great length.
Fascinating.
Yeah. With Big Frida.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's right, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, Jay, this first segment, Jay, it was fat.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Oh, and also I do have, and I've got it written down here somewhere because I actually took the notes, my wonderful neighbor, Big Ed, does have a slight rebuttal. As far as how I described him on the radio Friday.
Okay.
When he listened, he came over for a couple of moments on Saturday.
Right.
And I wrote down some notes.
He is aware of some of the descriptions you were giving
it
on the radio?
He heard it.
Good. Ah, okay.
And he was not upset. He came over. He simply said to me, get out one of those Post-it notes you love so much and write the following down.
Right.
So we got all of that. All of that.
I would be remiss if I didn't say this one thing, though, because I know they listen at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, anyone that, you know, when you were talking about not just the almonds and stuff, and the people know what I eat at the restaurant.
Look around, cafe.
Yeah. Anybody that comes up and mentions that to me in the next 7 days is going to be fired.
Thank you very much.
Very good. I heard you saying you don't eat a lot. What about the time when? What about the time? I don't need it.
Doesn't need it.
We call that a preemptive strike.
That's right. I keep forgetting that we are on in the Pacific Northwest. Let's go to Spokane to take a call from a faggot Seahawks fan.
Very nice.
Hello.
Oh, wow, no Seahawks fan here, pal. I'm just calling from on behalf of the stinky Seahawks.
And I'm just kidding. The only faggy thing really about Seattle, besides that quarterback, those suits they wear. Their costumes are awful.
You mean the football players' costumes?
the uniforms?
When they wear the dark with the dark.
Uh-huh. With the little...
That doesn't work.
The little kind of SeaWorld stripe down the side?
It don't work, fellas.
Huh.
You got to get like some white pants to go with that. I know it's after Labor Day, but you can wear white pants if you're a football player.
Right.
For your costume.
Uh-huh. I didn't like those uniforms. You think that's the color scheme they're going to wear for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I bet that they do. I bet they do.
Mm-hmm. Do they ever wear anything but at home? Is that the uniform they wear, that kind of monotone?
Dark on dark, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you're against that.
I hate that.
Or no, you're for that. You're for that. You're for dark on dark. You're not for dark on white or white on dark.
Certainly not that.
Right. Uniform-wise, of course.
Against it all. This guy doesn't sound like he's a Seattle fan.
Oh, you're not, but you are calling from where?
Spokane, Washington.
In Spokane. All right, so what about the Seahawks?
Well, I go over there every year because you're going to love this. I'm a 49er fan. So ever since they've got into the same division, I go over there with all my idiot Seahawk season ticket holder friends. And, man, they are mean over there, bro. Seriously, they throw. I haven't been hit with a battery, but I've been hit with everything from peanuts to some dude threw like an old shoe at me. 1 year.
Funny, though, because does it really matter? I'm talking about who's going to be showing up, but really, in fact, the Super Bowl is a bunch of corporate guys that have all the tickets anyway.
Right, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never real fans.
No, it's not. I mean, people might, you know, I had a sister that lived for 6 months in Pittsburgh one time. That's why I'm wearing the jacket. Well, who are you with, really? I'm with Budweiser.
I'm with Dick Cheney.
Uh-huh. I'm with Jack Abramoff.
I'm with Enron.
Yeah. Throw a dartboard. Okay, we're Seattle fans this weekend.
I'm with Al Jazeera. You know, God damn, this break's running too long. Well, too bad. I can tell you this in 10 seconds. Way back when me and Mike started working together 20 years ago,
right.
On Channel 4 here in D.C., on the NBC station, they had the 5 o'clock newscast, which was almost unheard of at that time. Stations didn't have like news all the time.
Right.
It was called Live at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the anchor guys, who we used to goof on a lot, and Mike did a pretty dead-on impression of, was this guy Dave Marish.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I read in a trade magazine over the weekend that Dave Marish has been hired by Al Jazeera as their lead American anchor man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hey, how you doing, Trader?
Good gig. You know who they offered the gig to?
Who?
Ted Koppel.
Oh, I read that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's going to take it.
Yeah, I'd love to know the details of that. I'd love to know whether it was either
oh, we're all, you know, we're not enemies in the common world of mankind.
Jesus.
Or whether they gave him a suitcase full of cash.
I always thought Dave Marish was kind of like a Berkeley, California type liberal. You know, he always kind of gave off that vibe when we knew him.
Absolutely.
Look at him over now.
Who knows?
Welcome, welcome to the Towelhead Evening News.
Does that mean he's going to have to change his look?
I
don't know anything. You know.
He's got the beard.
Uh-huh.
He's got the beard.
He's covered in the beard department. Maybe that was the whole reason.
That's right. He has to wear a turban.
I'm Dave Marish. Well, I'm wearing a towel.
Wouldn't it be great if a tool like Stone Phillips got that job?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be great.
Has anybody seen Stone Phillips' brand new shirt? Does look like new hair plugs haircut?
Yeah, and very much a dye job, it looks to me. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly how long in the tooth Stone is. But that is a weird, weird looking, I mean, almost dark brown like a shoe.
And our friend James Nance, it's called a comb-over, Jimmy. And Jimmy, when you're up in a windy booth and you're being shot from the left side, you know what? If you comb that hair over to the right, you'd look just like Matt Hasselbeck. I'm pretty sure
that it's completely bald underneath.
Wow. Now, Rob,
strands of hair, guys.
Rob,
when did we see him at the Final Four? Was that like 2 years ago?
Yeah,
right. He had some pretty precision combing going on at that time.
Rob's noticed Nance's hair issues for 2 years, and he calls me yesterday and says, "You know, are you watching? Yes, look at Nance's hair." So go back and they boink, you hear that boink boink.
Yeah,
that
I call him and I hear bonk, 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 bonk. He's rewinding on TiVo.
The TiVo bonk. And I go back, and yeah, indeed. I mean, it's like...
really thin. I haven't noticed.
Yeah, he's got a nice, pretty good thick swoop on the front.
It looks
and
like...
And then up top, it looks awful sparse.
It looks a lot like Charles Grodin when...
Oh, yeah.
When Charles Grodin finally decided to stop wearing the toupee.
Yeah, exactly. But he was still coloring it orange.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's not right, guys.
The headphones were playing tricks on me. Awfully windy.
Guys, Phil, Bonnie, my whole crew, Armin Katsain.
That's a lie. You ought to go to church.
Ma'am. We got to do this really. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Become an annual song where he changes the teams.
No. Although he's a TV star now.
Everything else, gay. Water, gay. Cologne is gay. DVD players are gay. DVDs are gay. Spray caps are gay. The sky is gay. It's also sometimes gray, but it's mostly gay. Cottage cheese, gay. Yogurt, gay. Shirts, gay. Vacuum cleaners, gay. Electronic devices.
What's this cat's name again, Mike?
Andy Milonakis.
Why are they so gay? Why is everything gay?
The man boy.
There he is.
Gay.
The Super Bowl's gay.
McDonald's is gay. McDonald's is gay. You must not misunderstand me when I say McDonald's is gay because it is so gay.
It's on in my show.
And now, speaking of gay...
Stay classy, Sacramento, with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I don't know, everybody. Sometimes just the smooth, soulful sounds of the Friends of Distinction go right on a Monday. Yeah, love there. A little bit lonely. I know you've been wondering what happened to that group that sounded like the Fifth Dimension.
Yeah. Where are they? Is this their one hit?
Yep, that's it.
Homo.
Okay.
Huh.
Touche.
One other hit.
Touche.
What was it?
Grazing. The,
Grazing in the Grass, yeah. Right. No singing on that one.
No.
Grazing in the Grass
Grazing in the Grass?
Yeah.
Was that Hugh Masekela?
Yeah, but they did a vocal of it.
Was it a hit?
Yeah, but it was lousy.
Mm. Was it a hit?
Yeah, I think it was like a top 15.
Which is better, Grazing in the Grass or Laughter in the Rain?
I like them both.
Sadaka is back. Oh, I feel laughter in the rain.
Holding hand.
Walking hand in hand with the one I love.
Right. Sorry.
Well, what happened was Elton John came into my life. I remember Neil Sedaka way back in the 70s when he had his comeback.
Sure.
And how come, as long as we're on the topic.
Yes.
How come we all you know what, Neil Sedaka. Boy, and now we're really in time capsule mode.
Right.
Because who the hell knows who Neil Sedaka is?
He was on American Idol one time.
Neil Sedaka has become our generation's Liberace.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, right. He's a swinging bachelor. You know what? I take it back. There are two of them. There's Neil Sedaka and Barry Manilow.
Right.
Now, we're supposed to believe with both of these guys that they're like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah. Well, but there's a big difference, I think, between Neil Sedaka and the way he conducts himself and Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow sings faggy songs. Mm. Neil Sedaka kind of has that.
Sings
that
songs faggy.
Yes. I get
thank
it.
Thank you.
Did you
that's
look
right.
Up, did you yeah. look up that song?
Grazing in the Grass was number 3. It was a bigger hit than
ouch.
Love Me or Let Me.
Wow.
All
right.
We can dig it, they can dig it, we can dig it, they can dig it, they can dig it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that
right.
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those
okay,
are words.
Good. Yep, you got it. Okay, thank you, Rob. Also, thank you to everybody in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
Crapchester, where you listen to us on AM Powerhouse, WHTK. Mm-hmm. More good ratings came in today.
Good.
More good Arbitron ratings.
Well, we'll be up there soon, then.
We'll put them up on our website. Mm-hmm. Today, don't know what they are. They just came out today. The station called, said, boy, they're great.
They're happy.
Put them up on the web, so I'd be glad to.
Thank you, Rochester.
Tell us what the numbers are. Okay, the weekend.
Yes.
Okay, here's where I begin.
With you sound like Art Spurlin.
Okay. I could tell you about just my inept home ownership, just what a total tart I am in my house, mm-hmm. or this thing with Big Frida, or this thing with and Big Ed. And don't think that I call
where do you want to start?
All of my friends big.
I wish you would.
Are you really big, Buzz?
I do. I'd rather have you pass today. You know.
Gotcha.
Big Mike. Really.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay, I'll start by telling you about my humiliation. Doing something around the house. Here was the thought that this weekend was a weekend that, at least on Saturday, was going to be used moving out some more of Frida's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was big footlockers of high school stuff that her family would want, and I had found all of this in the basement, and found some stuff still up in the girl room, in Frida's girl room. You might remember a couple of years ago, you know, I never did anything around the house. The one thing I did do was paint this room pink.
Right.
She wanted a pink room with girly wallpaper up on top.
Right.
And she said, you never do anything, and I did it.
Yeah.
Painted the room.
Yeah, I did it in a day, right?
Yeah, a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was good.
You were proud? She was pleased?
And she put in this white shag carpeting, mm-hmm. and the whole thing just, well, it was like, it's like Neil Sedaka's bedroom.
Okay.
Nice.
Right.
What it looks like.
Like it should have princess phones in it and things like that.
So slowly, as things have been removed from the room, just in the natural course of things,
right.
I've decided I've got a couple rooms in my house like that that are just too girly. So I think what I'm going to do is, I got a game plan now. I'm going to go to Home Depot. What I'm going to do is paint the walls a charcoal gray,
uh-huh.
and I'm going to paint the ceiling of the room black.
Wow.
And now this is not to be downer or to be macabre or to be goth. It's because I'm going to put a TV in there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to put a lounger in there,
uh-huh.
and it's going to be like just a relaxing man's room.
Okay.
This right used to be a girl's room.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't walk you through what a just total ass idiot I am when it comes to buying paint, buying supplies.
What are you going to do to the floor?
Well, this is part of it. I covered the floor with tarps.
Good. No, but I'm talking about was your long-term game plan. You're not going to do a gray wall with a black ceiling and white shag carpet. Are you going to take the carpeting up, too?
Well, let me get to that, Mark.
All right. Well, I didn't know.
I hadn't thought that far ahead. Frankly.
It's not white anymore.
At the beginning. Well, now you got there. You
I'm
go.
Sorry.
You know, I can't.
I'm sorry.
I can't tell you.
I couldn't help it.
One
again.
Goddamn thing, can I?
I don't know.
I can't tell you nothing at all. You know, just let it go on the air. Okay. So here's the answer. I don't have a plan for the carpeting.
All right.
But what I've done is I've gone to Home Depot and I've gotten the paints and they've mixed them up and I've not gotten them wrong, but they've mixed the colors correctly for me. And it's what I want. I've got the brushes. I do all the crap. I put all the tape up everywhere. I put all of the plastic on the floor. I paint the room. I paint the ceiling. I'm really retarded, and I'm not coordinated, and I have a problem with depth perception. And outside of the fact that it took me maybe 7 hours to paint a room that I found out later because of the carpeting, the dimensions on are 20 feet by 13 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small room that has a walkway that leads to a closet area. So really, the walls and the ceiling are not gigantic. But I'm thrilled because I've gone to the store. I bought the stuff. I've moved everything out of the room. I've painted the walls. I'm standing there. And I notice that there are a couple of spots that needs some trim.
Mm-hmm.
That just like me, I needed some trim. So what I do is I go and I get.
You mean some touching up?
Yeah. What I do is I get the smaller can of paint. Okay. Now because I had the big gigantic buckets, you know, the gallon things, but I also got a couple of the smaller ones, like pint size.
An extra quart.
Yeah, it's almost like a Ben and Jerry's size.
Okay.
That's really how Home Depot-ized I am. The paint container that I screwed up, that I ended up having to mess with, was about as big as a Ben and Jerry's, if you get
it. It's a quart.
A quart.
Right.
So I've got out the smaller can.
Yeah. Right.
Can of paint.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing just a couple of spots where it looks like the tape wasn't exactly neat. And I'm just going.
You're doing the ceiling?
Yeah. I'm going, God damn it. I'm so good. I'm up on the ladder. And I'm going. I'm so good. God, I'm so good. Meanwhile, it is splattering a little bit, but only right underneath me where I still have all of the tarp.
Good. Right.
Okay. Now, in the other half of the room, it's done. So everything has been taken down. I've taken down the tape. I've taken down the tarps.
Everything
looks fantastic.
Good.
All I've got is this one little spot, maybe I've got 3 feet of tarp underneath the ladder, where I'm up on
touching
top,
up, yeah.
Just doing some touch up.
Right.
I come down the ladder, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I can't believe how great this is. And I take a step back. Now, it's very hard to describe. I'm going to have to show you. And what I do is, let me switch mics. Yeah. I'm such an idiot. I'm like this, getting off the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, God damn, this room looks great. And as I say, this room looks great, mm-hmm. with this enthusiasm, I go like this with my leg, like, yes!
Victory.
Yes! I realize what I have done is put my foot directly in the little thing.
The tray?
Not the tray, the little bucket.
The quart of
paint.
Mm.
Now, what I do, because I'm a spaz, because I'm an idiot and I'm a retard, is I look down and I go, there's a moment where if I had just been cool.
And just stopped and lifted your foot up, right?
Everything would have been fine.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is I look down and I go, oh, God, Jesus, God, God, God. Now you have to help me describe what I'm describing.
You're doing a little dance. Going, you're shaking your foot.
I'm going, God, because the thing's on the edge of my shoe.
Oh, so you actually wedged your foot into it.
Yes.
Oh. So you're shaking your foot around with like a half-full quart container of paint.
Bingo. Oh.
Which probably
bingo. Now,
went everywhere.
No. Yes. So what happens is, you know, it all happens.
I see. Now I understand what you're talking about. You wedged your toe in there. You wedged your foot.
And instead of reaching down and prying it off, you attempted to shake it off.
Because I'm an idiot. And this is as I was coming down from the ladder, mm-hmm. and my foot goes down, and I went like, and I turned and saw it. It was like,
right, yeah.
Oh, crap. It's like, I just ruined this brand new pair of shoes. Like, and I tried to kick it off.
Right.
And the more that it wouldn't do anything,
yeah.
the more that it wouldn't go. And all of this happened real time. Oh, it wasn't these shoes.
Right.
The shoes that I had on are destroyed.
Right.
Real time, the spaz attack took maybe 8 seconds. Pardon me for just a moment.
You can do a lot of damage.
So I would assume that part of your room that you were saying you had already opened up didn't have the tarp on it?
Here's the thing. It looked like King Kong had relieved himself in my room. The wall.
Did it resemble a Jackson Pollock painting?
Yes, it did, Mike. Absolutely. The wall.
If anybody's ever seen that movie,
the wall behind me that had been perfectly painted gray had spots and speckle art and spin art and. It was all over the place.
Like, totally irreparable.
What I had to do was repaint all of the walls that I had already painted.
Got some on the... Well, the ceiling wouldn't have mattered as much, but it's still
a different texture. And I've got it all over me, so I'm just...
And this is the black paint.
Black.
Oh.
Black is a thousand-bit nice. I'm just standing there, and I'm just going... I can't, really, I was having a breakdown. I was like, I can't believe.
You put your hands up to your eyes?
But I had paint all over me, so it didn't matter. I was just standing there going, I can't believe how goddamn stupid I am. And I look like, I'm just looking at the wall saying, I gotta repaint that whole wall.
Right.
That whole effing wall. God! And then I looked down, and I saw, the one thing I'd forgotten was the can of paint. Which, of course, had turned on its side and had spilled into a gigantic pool, like big enough for me to swim in on the white shag carpeting.
Oh, man. I did not know that.
So I am just out of my mind at this point. The dogs...
Time to get out the box cutters.
Bless the dogs' hearts. They hear, all they hear is the racket upstairs.
Yeah.
And I got the dogs. I got the dogs downstairs going, because they hear the commotion. Now, I already know because I'm covered in black paint.
You know, this is like a sitcom. The only thing you have to do now is like stomp so hard you fall through the floor.
I wish, because then someone would have fixed it for me.
That's
too bad. The problem is,
but you enjoy the as much as you're saying you're an idiot. You still enjoy that labor. That is a handyman task painting that you seem to enjoy.
It's about the only thing that I can do. But as it turns out, it was awful. So what I did is
you had left that ladder and come down on the ladder and not hit that paint can, are you golden? Is it perfect?
Wow. Yes.
You take the tape off and everything's done?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, because there was just enough tarp left.
That's like the guy that trips right at the finish line.
Yep. Yeah, hi.
That sucks.
But it was your joy that set all this in motion.
I'm a loser.
And your anger that totaled the carb.
I'm a loser. So what I do is
I got another example for you.
Go ahead.
It's like the guy that celebrates about 5 yards before he gets to the end zone and he holds the ball out and the other guy knocks it out.
Yeah,
that's me. Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer, the painter.
That's why you're growing the beard.
Yeah, and I've been growing it about as long as he has. It looks about as good. So I go back to Home Depot, and I get more paint. And I mentioned to the guy at Home Depot, because I see in the ads that they're friendly and they help and stuff. And I go in and
see in the ads they're friendly and they help.
Yeah, it's obvious that I'm either Ted Danson doing some type of blackface with Whoopi Goldberg, or I've been involved in some type of serious problem with paint.
You expecting like to walk into the Home Depot and somebody will come up, put their hand on your shoulder, and go, "Can I help you?
Right?
Can I help you, friend? You seem to have had too much day."
That's what I was expecting, Mike. And, I know.
They're like that to each other.
It don't happen,
right? If you're wearing the orange bib.
So, this is again where, you know, I figure out I can do stuff that I never thought I could do.
Right.
I'm talking to the guy at Home Depot, and he's getting the paint for me that I need to repaint the gray walls. And I mention about the carpeting. And he says, you're probably going to need new carpeting.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. He said, we don't handle that. I said, yee. He said, how do you call anybody to do it? The guy said, you want to really save yourself some money, though? Tear up the old carpeting yourself, because they're going to rip you off right. on that.
True.
So, oh, yeah. I got home.
Because it's such an easy task. I didn't think about it.
I got home.
If that's been installed properly, that's one of the most difficult things to do in the world.
Yeah. Okay, I wish you would have called me and told me.
Jesus.
I got home. I finished painting the room.
Did you think you were just going to be a... They glued it down, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, here's what I do. I get the room done. The room's painted. There's no more paint. I can't make any more mistakes.
Right.
All I got to do is just rip this thing up. And incidentally, in the meantime, I've called because this is the kind of hip guy I am, the kind of suave consumer that I am. I called 1-800-EMPIRE.
Hey!
You succumbed to that? That ad campaign.
Mike, here's the thing.
Is there any company that buys more advertising than those guys?
No. Here's the thing. I really needed next day carpeting.
That's right.
I really freaking needed next day carpeting.
So you dialed 800-588-2300
Empire. I don't care if it's not real carpeting. I don't care if it's the
made of hair.
I don't care if it's the skin of Vietnamese kids who they pulled out of a Nike factory.
That's what the man looks like. He does.
But what I'm saying is this: I'm with you. That ad runs so much on TV all the time.
I call up and I say, it's not a big room. I would like a dark color, whatever the nicest is. Tell me what the nicest is, then give me the prices and everything. Uh-huh. And she says, we could send a guy out, or you could actually go on the internet if you want to just look and compare prices and stuff.
Oh,
and
that's good.
It's just carpeting, and I know that Frida would have done it differently, but what the hell, I'm me. So I say, great, let's do this, let's book this. And they really say, they can come out in the next 24 hours.
Excellent.
Just like the ad on TV says.
Uh-huh. Even like on a Sunday?
Yes, even on a Sunday.
Wow.
And she said, now, the cost of the carpeting will be this much money.
Uh-huh.
The cost to have them install the carpet will be this much money.
Right.
The carpet that you're replacing, to have them pull that out,
uh-huh.
that will be this much money.
Uh-huh.
And it was at that one that I said, I'm not going to pay that.
Wow.
I can do that myself.
Yeah.
And the woman said, okay, great. Someone will call you.
Did she say thank you?
Someone will call you, and, they'll let you know
now,
what time they're coming by tomorrow.
Let me ask you this. No, but really, because with the paint, I can understand all that. I can. Yeah. Why didn't you just say, take the stuff out? They got to put it out. You got to put it out in the truck anyway. You know, you don't have like a
Here's
pickup. Do you still have a pickup? Were you going to take it to the dump yourself or put it on the side of your street?
I don't have a pickup anymore.
But the thing is, I've had people do that. I've watched and it can be, sometimes it can be amazingly easy, but most of the time
it was incredibly hard.
If it's relatively new carpeting where it's been there a while and you obviously put that in a short time back, it's glued down. It's so hard.
Here was the deal. That I went up there and I got the cutting thing, the cutting
box
tool. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, cutting machine. And figured, this is going to be actually pretty easy because all I'm going to do is bend over like I'm hiking the football and just start yanking this out. And I'm thinking I'm going to get some of this aggression out of my system.
Sure, exactly.
I lean down, swear to Christ, and I go, and I'm like in a tug of war with this thing, and I'm pulling, I swear to Christ, as hard as I can. My eyes are closed, and I'm like,
vessels.
I pulled up maybe an inch of the corner, and all that I see is like
super glue.
The part that I've pulled out, it's like, it's not coming out.
Yeah, and if you don't have the
the tool for it. There's a tool that they use to do it.
Now, here's where Big Ed comes into the story.
Big Ed came to the rescue?
Thank goodness.
Didn't do the work. But guess who knew about this tool you speak of?
Yes.
Big Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I called Big Ed, and I said, hey, I've painted myself into a corner, if you'll pardon the pun. And I said, I don't know how to get this carpeting up. And they want to charge me $200 or something to take this stuff up, and I should just be able to pull it up.
Right.
He came over with this tool, which kind of looked like something that you use to break into somebody's car.
Yeah, it's got kind of a red handle on it, right?
Yeah, it's almost like that thing that the cops...
Rubber handle.
Yeah, that the cops stick down your window, except you're right, it's got a big handle on the other end of it.
Right.
And here's what he did. He came over, and he said, oh, this should be simple. Let me show you how to do this. And again, now, here's a guy who's in his 60s.
Yeah.
I'm 47. He goes, just like this. Watch me, Mike. You put it right underneath here, and then you... And he pulls back about 3 feet with it worth of the stuff.
Excellent.
Right? And I said, you're the man, Ed. Thank you, Ed.
Right.
And then we had our little discussion about talking about him on the radio, which I'll bring up in a moment.
All right. Son, I want to have a word with you.
And he left to go home.
Right. I'm tired about all these fibs you've been telling about on the radio.
I go back upstairs. I swear to God. I do the exact same thing as that. Maybe this time it moves 2 inches. Keep in mind, you know that what's his name? Frank, who's the celebrity he most resembles?
Frank Langella?
Yeah, Frank Langella has just come over without breaking a sweat.
Has managed
to pull up with like 3 feet of this stuff.
I'm not trying to bust your chops, but I have a significant question for you. Were you paying really close attention when he showed you, or were you kind of just nodding like you do?
Okay. Like you have to ask me?
No, because it's probably...
He probably
used the tool and kind of like when you weren't looking and then he lifted the carpeting up and then you...
You know the way I am.
Yeah.
I just saw, oh, look. Mm-hmm. Look how easy. Oh, good. Okay, all right, bye. Bye. Then he wanted to talk.
But you still have the tool at this point, right?
Yeah, I've got the tool. Right. So he's gone and... God, my arm. I just flew in, and boy, my arms are killing me. About 3 hours. I'm surprised that I don't have exploding biceps today.
Yeah. I've seen guys do that. I've seen workers, professional carpet people do it, and heard them bitch about it. Because you can get a situation where the glue job is actually better than the carpeting itself, and that's when it starts to come up in little chunks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you get a happy crew.
Oh, well, man. I got it all. Got it all and had it all out there.
The tool helped, I imagine, right?
Yes, absolutely. If not for the tool,
right,
I would have been...
It's kind of like you're scraping underneath the carpeting and then you pull it up. You're scraping between the carpet and the glue.
You know, you've got all that that black rubber. And
it's a blade tool is what it is.
Yes, what you do is you go underneath the turf, as I was calling it after a while. Right. This was not carpeting. This was like field turf. You go underneath it, and you get like a wedge, you know, where you get an edge up in the air.
Right.
And then once you get that edge, boy, you go on the other side, and you rip that mother out.
I mean, the one good thing about all this, whoever had done your carpeting the last time did a good job with the install. The harder it is to get up is usually the better the carpet's put up.
So they came over the next day, and they had the stuff. And, you know.
So, I mean, you really can tell me that the commercials are what they...
Yes.
Same day, even on a weekend.
Yeah, it didn't seem to matter.
Wow. Right? That's awesome.
I mean, of course, it's not a gigantic...
I didn't know anybody did that on Sunday.
It's not a gigantic room. I also did not have a sales guy come out.
That's great.
I also did not bother, to look through a catalog or anything. I just went on the internet and said, yeah, that looks good.
And you liked what they put down?
You like the result?
I like it a hell of a lot better than white shag carpeting with with big black spots. Look like Star Jones underpants.
Did you get the rest of the painting done in between the time that you had pulled it up?
Yes. Yeah, so
that must have been real easy. You didn't have to put down a drop cloth.
So it's done.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Because who cares? Because the paint can fall on the stuff that they're going to be putting the new carpeting
on. Did the guy with the mustaches and glasses come to install?
The guy, Rob, that talks really gentle like that?
That's right.
He did
and
not.
And now they've replaced him with an animated guy.
Is that a nationwide business?
And.
Started in Chicago, I think.
Yes, it is. Now we can play the game. Who wants to guess the man? Actually, there were two of them. The men that came out, foreign or domestic. And they were two of a kind. So you can't say, one was one and one was the other. What do you think?
Foreign. I'll say foreign.
Mike.
I'm going to say domestic.
Robbie.
I'm going to say foreign and Asian.
I'll say foreign and Hispanic.
Fellas, wrong, wrong, right.
Yeah.
Mike, right.
Yeah, domestic.
And you didn't pay a fortune, but you paid more than you would under normal circumstances, because they got to pay for their advertising, and they probably pay their people pretty well to be at your disposal all the time.
Well, the window, I mean, it's not like they said we'll be there at 9.
Right.
The window was any time between 7 and 7.
Still a Sunday.
Same day, though. Yeah. Next day. That's very, very cool.
But no sadly, complaint. It was between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Wait all night.
We're here to put your garbage in.
Wake up!
But, and you like, I mean, I know you like it better than the stuff that had the black paint, but do you like the carpeting? It's
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure here is my problem. As I was looking at the carpeting layer, I was thinking, this was like Frida's area, you know?
I know.
I'm sure she would look at it and say to me, you know, like when she would talk to you about furniture?
Yeah.
I'm sure that Frida thinks it's Value City, because she hated Value City.
Yes.
You know, if it didn't come at some store where they knocked up the price at least 5 times, it just wasn't worth it to Frida.
Right.
I think it's fine. I think it's more than fine.
Good.
I think it looks really good.
Good.
And I'm really proud of myself because I'm a retard. And that's another thing that I never thought I would do. I knew I could paint a room. I did not know that I could actually F up a room so bad that at one point it would look like like I said, like King Kong had an accident in his underpants. And I didn't know that 24 hours later it could look so beautiful.
That's good. And it came out great.
So beautiful. You know what I should do? I should take a picture of this and put it on the website.
Do that.
Because I'm truly proud. I mean, all you're going to see is a room.
Right.
But you got to know that I did it.
Right.
Fair enough.
Well, what's cool about this is you did this. You measured the room.
Yeah.
Because you had to tell the lady, you know, this is how they brought the right amount out. Everything came out. You did all that. You got your own carpeting out.
And I got all the leave-ins.
And that's very cool.
You know, they bring out the big roll of carpet.
It's obviously a lot of work, right?
Yeah. The guy says to me, do you want the leave-ins?
I say, yeah.
Like, well, what am I going to do with them? He says, I don't know. Make them into floor mats if you want.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You can put little stuff in front of your windows.
Carpet the side.
I mean, your sliding glass doors.
The inside of your car, the roof, the walls.
Low right there. Anyway, good for me.
Yeah. Congratulations. It sounds like it's a happy ending.
Because I'm a total fag. Now, about Big Ed. Hold on. Let me break it. I'll tell you about Big Ed and about Big Frida.
Big Ed, it sounds like Big Ed saved the day again, though.
Yeah, this guy, Big Ed,
that's
my neighbor.
That's one handy dude that's got that tool with him.
Mm-hmm. Who would know? Who would know?
Big Ed would know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to figure what, the guy's 60 years old?
67.
67 years old.
67.
He's probably living in houses and
putting down carpet.
You know?
There you go. Here's exactly what I wrote down when Ed came over. Big Ed's rebuttal. Number one, when Clint came up with the dog, with the deer's head, with the remainder of the deer's head, and then Ed came over and he was wearing, as I described them, his camouflage outfit.
Fatigues.
No, actually, it was an old training uniform.
Uh-huh.
He only uses it to go in the woods because he doesn't like to get his nice clothes dirty.
Of course.
He's not a crazy guy who wears camouflage all the time. It didn't have his name or his rank on it.
Uh-huh.
It's just like regular, plain fatigues.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I apparently said cami.
Yes.
It wasn't like a regular, like, army uniform.
It wasn't spotted.
It looked like army uniform to me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, green. Ed says...
Grab green, right?
No, Rob does.
Now he's going to get mad if you're... He's telling you to specifically share that with us, and now you're...
And Rob's giving me the look like... he's got the old Reagan thing,
Anytime someone says, I'm not crazy, I'm
right.
Sure he's fine.
Item number two that Ed would like me to straighten out.
Okay.
He is a full bird colonel.
That's what I said the other day.
I said he was a 4-star colonel.
Right. Yes, but because you have a brilliant partner who knows military ranks, we were able to correct that on the show.
He is a full bird colonel.
Mm-hmm.
He retired in 2002.
Cool.
He could have, if he wanted to, gone on to become a general.
Okay.
This is, I'm just reading what
that's,
Ed wrote.
Nothing, I don't dispute any. Usually a guy that makes colonel.
Yeah. Furthermore, he's still on call.
Oh, really?
Ah. He's, like, if anything heavy happens, watch out.
Okay.
Good to live next door to
him. Okay. Next item. his words, not mine. I am not a military militia nut.
Good.
I will catch the poachers.
Good.
I will do it legally.
Good.
As I am helping the entire neighborhood.
That's right.
There you go. That's what Big Ed would like me to say about him.
He's got to be a bright guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's usually a pretty smart guys that make that rank in the military.
Yeah, that's
he's a smart guy, isn't he? I mean, he's a tough guy, but a smart guy.
I think
like.
He is.
Knows
Andy,
a lot of
Andy
stuff.
Had this thing that enabled me to, mm-hmm. to scoop this and pull this, and it was like, I hate to keep saying her name, but it was like being at the kind of colleges with Star Jones, doing this thing with the carpeting.
Uh-huh. But you did it.
Yes, goddamn right.
And the room's got that new room smell now.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Listen.
I like that smell.
Boy, I was high as a kite because I was just sitting in there watching. I was sitting there for a while because I got a TV.
Right.
Oh, here's it. That's just what I need. Another TV.
Second one?
Yeah. I got one of the nice little ones,
right.
You know, the nice little LCD screen thing.
Right.
And I got it in there, and it looks so nice because it's shiny black, and it's got a stand. And I'm just sitting in there watching the end of the Seattle game last night and noticing at one point, it's like, oh, dude. And what it was, I swear to Christ, it was the fresh paint smell.
Sure.
Still.
And the carpeting and the glue, yeah.
Did Big Ed want you to save the shag carpet to wrap the poachers in?
Rob? And I'm going to need a little plastic, too.
Yes, Rob, yes. That is a full bird, Colonel.
I'm simply joking.
He could have been a general if he wanted to. And the feeling that I got today was that if Osama bin Laden does something, I'm going to go hide in one of Ed's caves.
There you go.
But I'm pretty sure that...
Have you been to Ed's house?
I have been. Since Frida passed away, I've been to Ed's house more times in the last 7 months mm-hmm. than I had in the previous 10 years the guy had been living next door to me.
Wow. Does he have one of the... Does he have a panic room? I mean, he probably doesn't need one.
No. Stop that.
You know what?
I had a neighbor that was...
He does have... Because he was in the Korean conflict.
The Howard Cunningham bomb shelter?
He does have a Korean guy's head on his mantle.
Fair enough.
No, maybe not. It looks like Fuji from McHale's Navy.
Oh, okay. Well, then it might be from World War II.
Japanese. I'm not really sure.
I had a neighbor one time at band camp. I had a neighbor that was a veteran. He had an AK-47, he claimed, in his house. It was inside the wall.
Wow.
He put it in there. It was for a big time emergency, and he re-drywalled over it.
Okay, but
he knew how to access
Mike
it.
Mike talking not about my neighbor.
No, I'm not talking about your neighbor.
Colonel Ed.
Not the full bird, Colonel.
No.
I speak for Mike and myself.
And incidentally, you know what you should call him? Colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is no. Now that is the etiquette.
You know why I don't?
My church.
Really? You know why I don't?
Why? Because of my situation. And that was a lieutenant colonel.
Because Mike's first wife, her father, Mike's father-in-law, was a military guy, right. And Mike would always refer to the colonel.
The colonel. And your dog's first name is Colonel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right.
Is that offended by the fact that you call your dog Colonel Glink?
No, is Big Ed? No, Big Ed's not a
but I'm sure that in very, very many circles, Ed's probably accustomed to being referred to as Colonel.
Yeah.
When you get that kind of rank, you know, it's not you can be called Colonel.
It's like Doctor.
It's like Doctor. Exactly right.
Now, if Clink had stayed in the service, could he have gone to general?
What?
If Clink had stayed in the service, could he have become a general?
I don't know.
Listen to him. You know, you got a sick Ed on him when he comes over.
Yes, please. Don't think I'm not thinking about it.
No, I have nothing but respect for the military.
I'm serious. I believe he's one of these guys. He's not a funny...
Colonel Ed is much better than Mr. Ed.
He's not a phony like Liddy. I believe he's one of these guys.
You're damn right he's not.
I believe he's
deal.
One of these guys that really could kick some ass.
That's right. I know he could.
Watch it.
Was Liddy even an officer?
And a gentleman.
But well, that's a big deal. That's a big... I mean, that takes a long time and a lot of, you know, hanging in there. Of course, a lot of people in the military, but yeah, you got to know who to know, you know, that kind of thing. But no, it's a colonel in the military.
He's smart.
Big colonel in the Army?
Big German sympathizer. How come you didn't tell me what time it is?
Well,
we got a break.
We're having fun.
We got a break. What'd you say?
I forgot. Look at that time.
I know. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you do this for Don and Mike? Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Don and Mike? Let me tell you something about them little two-bit petty whores, okay? Don and Mike. Them and let me tell you, I met them at a one of them baths over on Melrose when they were out in L.A. I was a loofah boy. And I just walked by and I gave them a sponge and a small animal. And yeah, I think, well, you know, what happens is you do radio, and D.C. is a big market for me, you know, because I'm black.
Right.
And, you know, on the inside, trying to make bail. You only have that once, right? But you know, when you do the show, they go, can you do some IDs for us so everybody will think we're in? Yeah. And you do it because you know you have Les Moonves with CBS going, put you on UPN.
Okay, I thought you were tight with Don and Mike.
Oh, look, who could be tight with Don and Mike? You know what I mean? They're this, you know, this far away from, you know, repairing ham radios. You know, the guys have no talent. You know, they still don't understand why the Jets broke up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't mean the team. I mean the. You know, the Polynesian band.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah. All right, baby. I got three favorite cards.
Now we're rocking.
For my job.
I love this.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, Conjunction Junction.
When I hear them, I like to fall out. Don and Mike.
Not as good as the last
one. Pick it upwards and make it a frog shot.
Everybody's got a laughing place.
They do.
Stand by for cash and prizes.
How exciting is that?
Yeah. Playing another one of our exciting partner games here.
Good.
In a couple of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
My conversation with Big Frieda is the last thing from this weekend that I wanted to share with ye.
Okay.
With all of ye.
Please.
First, you know, she's just the greatest. She's the coolest.
I know.
I love her so much. That we talk and then we don't talk and then we talk and we email because it's still that weird, you know, 7.5 months after Frieda passed thing. And I have had discussions with other members of the family about what happened to me last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that word had trickled back to her, but we had not had a discussion. But anyway, we were talking about on Saturday, just talking about a hell of a lot of stuff, just mainly about Frieda.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just so cool. Here's how the conversation goes. I said, you know, there's something I think that we should talk about. And she said, what? And I said, well, I don't know if you heard or not. I feel awkward, but on the other hand, I'm not awkward because I really can say anything to you,
mm-hmm.
and meaning to Big Frieda, and I can because she's like my mom. I said, I mentioned it to my sister-in-law, to Robbie, and to some other members of the family, and it all came out so fast,
mm-hmm.
just like the act.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know if you got wind of this or not, but I got laid last weekend, and I just thought you should know that you'd be cool with it. And there was just one beat, two beat, and then she said, I think that's wonderful. And she's just so cool. She said, I know Frieda would want you to be happy,
mm-hmm.
and there's no reason that your life should stop.
Right.
And I mean, she just said everything right to me, like, you know, that, you know, you're still young. And I mean, because I told her the whole thing. I said, listen, I'm not certainly not replacing Frieda. Never dream of that. This is something that happened. I told this girl, she's not my girlfriend. I'm not going to take her to the movies. And was at that point then. Now, in August, Frieda and I would have been married 25 years, but we had lived together for a year before we got married, so really we were together for 25 years. So mm-hmm. I've known Big Frieda as my mom for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there have been those jokes, like at the wedding anniversary for Frieda and Les, Big Frieda, when I danced with her, and she commented what a
strong hand you had.
Strong hand I had.
I always remember. Certain things on the show I just don't forget.
It was like, and that was at my mother.
You led well.
I was at my mother and father-in-law's 50th anniversary. Oh. And he's departed now. But so that's how long ago this was that we were, you know, dancing. And I was like being goofy with my Frida, like, oh, look at me dance with your mom. Doesn't your mom love this? Anyway, she says to me, when we're having this deep, I think, very nervy, touchy-feely thing, she's handling it fine. I'm a little more schizo about it. She said, well, after all, you have needs. And I thought, oh, I've waited 25 years for you to say that to me.
God.
The defining moment.
Ever since that dance.
50th wedding anniversary.
Your 50th wedding anniversary.
You led so well. You danced with her like no other.
I've been waiting for you to say that.
Well, it is, God bless her. And she's a, you know, she's a strong woman.
Her perspective on the whole thing is just fantastic. For being a chick, and I use that word very respectfully towards Big Frida.
Of course.
She's 82. She's living on her own. Mm-hmm. She's had a bunch of bad stuff happen to her, but she just continues to rise above it and is just strong as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And to be cool like that with me, she said, you should never feel awkward about telling me anything that happens in your life. And then she has such a unique way of qualifying things. Like she said, I think it's fine. She said, first off, you're a grown man, and your life has to go on, and Frida would have wanted you to be happy and would not want you to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you do is fine. And then she said, because there's always a qualifier, not that it's a bad qualifier, she said, and after all, it's not like you got divorced. And I stopped for a second, and then I thought about what she was saying, because if this never would have happened, because, you know, I was a lifer, but if Frida and I had ever gotten divorced and I had come on the radio, you know, 7.5 months later, talking about getting laid, well, then that's just being a dick.
That's
and that's true. And that's just no class. And
right.
There's just, you know, just from my perspective, not the way that I would want things to be handled. And that's what she was saying to me as well, was that it was cool. And she didn't ask a lot of questions.
Good.
She asked the age. I told her the age. Mid-40s. She said, oh, good. And then she said, did you have a good time?
Oh.
Now, you know, how do you answer that? And it's only because I'm so freaking close to her. I said, oh, I had a great time. And then I said, I had a great time. I didn't last like 30 seconds.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I realized, oh, I'm holding the phone.
Too much information.
I'm telling my mother-in-law this. But then she said something something along the lines of, well, some things never change, do they? You know, only because I had talked about that with Frida for so long.
Right.
She's just the coolest, and it had been, you know, not a hurdle that I had not been looking, that I was not dreading.
Right.
And I, you know, really didn't even think that there would have to be a point where I would have to discuss it with her, because like she said, I don't need anybody's permission to live my life, but these people are my family, I love them, and their opinion of how I'm conducting life without Frida matters a lot to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is why I called Robin to begin with, and incidentally, I know that she's not listening now. I know Big Frida's not listening now.
Uh-huh.
I totally did not believe her when she told me that Robin didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I mean, for the record.
Yeah. I know how women work. I know how this family works. I've been around long enough to know that much more minor stuff works its way through the family grapevine like this.
Something like this. Boom.
I mean, yeah. I'm serious. Somebody's got a hangnail. Some family member down in Louisiana's got a freaking hangnail. You get a phone call or an email that night saying, incidentally, wow, the toe is really swelled. Okay?
And the email has really changed this in my family as well. You can't get away with anything anymore.
Everybody knows everything.
Oh, and they all love sending out the mass email.
Mm-hmm.
The copy all on it. So I'm sure it's the same way with you guys.
Yeah. Everybody knows everything.
Although I don't think that my sister-in-law, Robbie, would have emailed this to everybody.
Well, I got it.
I do I do think that she mentioned it. And anyway, it just love you very much, Big Frieda. And what a cool lady she is.
You bet she is.
Indeed.
And, you know, she's a strong lady, too. And that's good. And I know that makes you feel good, even though, you know, you're under no obligation in this world to, you know, tell people you're a grown up, you can do what you want. But that's I know their opinion you value quite a bit.
And really, and I don't talk about this a lot because I don't want to bum everybody out. Really, but although this is not a bum out thing.
No.
Frieda's whole family has been fantastic to me. Like, I'm surprised by that. I'm not. But what I mean is specifically talking about the loss of Frieda, and now that a little time has passed, and I have a little different perspective. I have, what, without betraying things that people have said to me, one of my sister-in-laws, Judy, had lost her husband, Leo.
Right.
And they were very close. And Judy has been so nice to continue to talk to me and walk me through this process because...
That's been helpful.
She went through it.
There,
yeah. Yeah, I mean...
And she shared a lot of that with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And Judy and I, while we've always been friendly, remember, she's the one that bet that Frieda and I would not last 5 years.
Right.
Oh, right.
She bet the family. Now, she says it's no big deal, but there's still a part of me that's pissed off that sure. On my wedding day in the church, mm-hmm. she was shaking hands with the people that this won't last 5 years.
Right.
You know, I'll bet you money.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been that it wouldn't last 1 year.
Oh, same kind of thing.
But all I know is that she has been incredibly supportive as well. And I just mentioned that because I've not talked about Big Frieda much.
Right.
And one of these days I'll give her a call on the air.
Good.
And we'll check in just to see, you know, how she's doing.
They're a strong group, aren't they?
Oh,
they really are. I mean, I
have to.
As an outsider looking in when everything went down, that family impressed the hell out of me. They still do. And, you're not exactly a slouch in that department yourself, but it was really impressive to see that. And it sounds like they're still being strong for you and for everybody else.
Well, they are great. So just you know, a tip of the cap to Big Frieda that was maybe... really, the most awkward conversation we've ever had.
I like that story. I like hearing that, all except the divorce part, because, you know, I just it's okay to talk about, you know, doing it with somebody after a divorce, though, right? Because they got confused.
Yes. She was just talking about...
Just for all the divorce
she
people.
She was just talking
right
about me and my situation.
Right.
Because of the
way... one thing if you, like, split up and then you talked about somebody you were with
that. Come on. You know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
She was talking about the fact that Frieda and I had lived our lives not only in real life, but on the radio.
Well, that's right.
For okay. so long that's together. Right. And that, you know, God, I would be like a supreme dick if I had been married to her for 25 years.
Right, right.
Then we got divorced, and it was like 6 months later, I came in and said, oh, boy, I got my nut.
And you presented it was also respectful. I mean, really, it was not, you know, you said that, you know, but it's important for you to know, really, that I think what she said, remember what she said, and that's going to be true no matter where your life takes you.
And
you're going to have to remember that.
I wish people would stop asking me. And this is, I'm not, don't mean this is a joke. Unfortunately, none of you guys have. It's all other people.
Hmm.
Nothing happened this weekend. So stop asking me. I'm not going to report every time something happens.
So people are checking with you to see if that person popped around again?
Yeah. I mean, it was just...
You're not always going to talk about it when that happens, are you?
No.
And that was kind of the first, you know, hey, I've done something, so, I mean, you're going to kind of keep it on the QT?
Yeah, absolutely. But for those who must know, nothing happened this weekend.
Okay.
Because yesterday, the phone rang during the Steelers game, besides when Rob would call... Or I would call Rob. Well, I'm talking about people just calling me.
Right.
Besides Rob calling me, or Mike called, and we rapped a little bit about the game and about Nance, about how just wound up like a top he was.
Mm-hmm.
Every other call that I got from a friend would be like this. Hello? Hey. Are you watching the game? Yes. Are you alone? Come on, Christ.
Right.
Come on.
You know what's weird about that is you, to me, made it really clear that you're controlling that discussion, and you probably don't want anybody prying about that.
No, I'll tell you what you need to know.
When you get your booty call, you know, you're going to keep it to yourself.
I'll let you know as much as I think you need to know, but there's nothing for you to know now. except that you know that I had a discussion about it with Big Freedom.
Right.
Yeah, that she finally said to me those magic words, you have needs.
It's only one question that comes to mind. I'm not asking you, hey, how are you this weekend, but is that particular situation that happened, is that a situation you could see happening again?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. No, good. That's all I wanted to know. I was curious about that.
I'm pretty sure. For sure, it's like dominoes.
What's that mean? The hell does that mean? You mean like they're all going to tumble down?
No, like Domino's Pizza.
You mean?
I'm pretty sure I could call and have it delivered in 30 minutes or less.
Now that's going to piss her off, no matter who she is. But if she gets the joke, she'd. That'd still piss her off.
Facts are facts, Mike.
And it's also, not in 30, it's free.
Also consider I don't want to mess up my new carpeting, too.
That's important. You still have the cards, though, right?
God. Oh, God.
30 minutes or less.
Gay. This music signifies gay. Well, we've got some prizes to give away. Let's see, we've got the WWE Royal Rumble, the pay-per-view. Sunday, Jan 29, in-demand pay-per-view. We got a whole stack of $100 bills to give away.
Wow.
Gay, but not too gay.
That's right. We're going to be playing Gay, but not too gay. This is where women call. Married women only, please. And you must answer the following question. My husband might be gay because...
Right.
I think we've only done this once before, and it worked out pretty good when I was looking at my notes. As I recall back to... those days,
mm-hmm.
The Beth Ann days on the show.
Right.
I'm going back to the chicken scratch.
Who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, if you're a woman who's
we are
married...
so over that.
Yes, we are. If you're a woman married to a guy, like for instance, I always throw out this one guy who you guys know from... being at my house, a very nice guy who decided about halfway through life that he's a faggot.
Yeah.
Now,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. And you should know when I say that, I pronounce it not only, yes, Buzz, from the heart.
Right.
But also it's F-A-G-G-I-T.
Right. That's the good guy.
I say it the funny way.
Right.
There's not an O-T.
The comedic way.
If it's F-A-G-G-I-T,
not hateful.
That's the funny button.
That's right. He came out, basically, halfway through their marriage.
Now, for the longest time, we would socialize with this couple.
Right.
And besides the fact that he had a little bit of a lisp, he loved doing stuff like cooking and cleaning and and was, like, into doilies and Hummel figures, but would always, like... be going on a trip, on a work trip, like, or on a hunting or something. And
to Thailand.
And not like Brokeback Mountain.
Right.
I mean, and everybody always, you'd leave the house, they're wonderful people, you get in the car, and you'd say, do you think he's gay? And they go, well, I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
He is. And we're not looking for women who really have husbands who have gone to the bad place. Just if your husband does something that's particularly gay,
mm-hmm.
you call us and you tell us at 877-365-3636. Then we call your husband.
Mm-hmm.
We say your wife's on the line, mm-hmm. and she says you might be gay because of something you do.
Right.
And if his answer matches her answer,
and we usually base these calls on the best gay story.
Winner.
Right. I can throw out an example.
Okay.
A member of my family, straight as an arrow, good guy, never misses the Antiques Roadshow.
Mm-hmm. That's very gay.
Yeah, but he's not gay, but he could be.
See, now that would not make the cut, but that's a good start.
An example.
Right. That's a good start.
I'll give you an example. A member of my family, male member, married man, who whenever he greets all the male members of our family, kisses us with the tongue.
Gay, but not too gay.
That's too gay. Really? I always thought it was just okay.
I didn't think you were going to talk about your cousin Teddy.
Oh, stop! Not Teddy!
Oh.
No, wrong! Anyone who saw that Teddy, he's joking.
970.
I love my cousin Teddy.
970 WZAM. Portland, Maine.
Terrible, terrible. I was making big time jokes.
No, I'm kidding.
That's funny.
I'm kidding. Your cousin Teddy, we get it spelled with IT. All right, ladies, have we laid this out? But more importantly, let's make sure that there are going to be no parameters here.
Right.
They get screwed up.
No annoying.
Let's make sure that the parameters
by
are
J.A.
steady keel.
And every guy, I think, in every relationship has at least one thing they do.
Something about him.
Yeah.
Something that's gay.
Right. I mean, we could all say that we have something that might be considered gay that
we
do.
Of course.
My lacy under thing.
Hello?
My propensity for tears. That's the drop of a hat.
Going gay, Joe?
My insistence.
This is John.
My insistence that it's an exit, not an entrance.
I mean, you get up for the protesting too much thing?
That's what you guys say.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Please don't call me sir.
Sorry.
Thank you. Tell me something. How's Thickhead doing today? Do you think he understands the parameters of this game?
I believe so. He's all the lines are ringing, and he is working through them rather quickly.
Can't be any easier, really.
Okay.
Just ladies calling with something their husband does that's very good.
Friday, we were doing a regular bit that we've only done for 20 years.
Right.
And it got all screwed up because of the parameters that Joe has set up.
He blamed the parameters for getting us two of the dumbest contestants we've ever
of
had.
Of all time.
Parameters are gay.
Of all time.
Of all time.
All right, thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. There goes
I bet he has a million things that people could pick.
With John Norman.
No, not John Norman, Bill O'Reilly.
I was going to say, John Norman, let's start with his haircut.
He is very swishy.
I mean, Jesus, how's the AZT going?
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, no. Welcome, to, right
gay?
Welcome to the show, John.
I don't have a gay haircut.
Right. Right.
Let's say that. What does the left ear mean? Pitching or catching? I'm not sure which one.
For you?
I don't
know. Oh, hey, stop. Stop. Thanks for coming by, Sinead.
John, again with you, that's spelled with an I-T. Not with an O-T. IT. That's
okay.
The funny button.
You.
Very good.
Everybody has a laughing place. Faggot. We'll be right back with your calls.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6. Or between noon and 4. Or check your local listing.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Gay, but not too gay.
Okay.
Out of the mouths of tards comes the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, dude, Logger. All right, we're ready for my husband might be gay. Although not really might be gay, just... There you go, thank you. Does gay things.
The definitive gay music we do.
Frank Mills.
Gay.
You don't know the hell that I was in. Back when you were a college student, Mike.
Yes.
What year was this out? Like 1978?
Okay.
I was having to play it like every hour and 15 minutes.
It was a huge hit.
It was a number one record.
Uh-huh.
Ah!
People loved it.
The Music Box Dancer.
You know what it reminds me of?
Yes.
A snowstorm. Or the snow inside a glass globe.
Snow globe, yes.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like flakes coming down to me. Always has. Sounds Christmassy for some reason.
We could ice skate to this.
The Germans call it a Schneekugel. Snow globe.
A Schneekugel. Really makes me feel all wintery, boy.
Let's start with Liz. Hello, Liz. Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. Liz, are you married?
I am.
All right, your husband's name?
His name is Michael.
Michael.
And there's your first problem. That's Mike you're talking about.
He might be gay. Yeah. He might be gay because?
He shaves his legs.
Oh, you know, I like when there's one. I mean, that's coming strong out of the chute right
sure
there.
Sure is.
Okay,
can I get some background?
Sure,
please.
He used to be a hardcore bike rider.
Uh-huh.
Right, a cyclist.
He doesn't, right, and he, so that made sense. But he doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, see, that's great, because the first thing I was going to say is, does he ride bikes?
Oh, you,
he, does
you,
he swim? Is he competitive?
Ride bikes, not like your motorcycle.
No, not
like,
motorcycle,
like Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Right.
But he doesn't do it anymore.
He doesn't do it anymore, but he still keeps his legs shaved more than I do.
All right, and listen, we do not have to have only one winner in this contest. We got a lot of money to give away.
Okay.
We got a lot of WWE stuff. So it just, this one was a good one.
This is good. Michael
sure
shaves
is
his legs.
If he matches, you're a winner. And yeah, I'm sorry, Liz, what?
I was just going to say he also uses my Girly Girl shaving cream on his legs.
Well, that goes with the same thing.
To avoid nicks and cuts.
All right, hold on just a moment, please. Now, let's welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi there, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi there, Michael. We're playing a game called My Husband Might Be Gay. There's something you do that makes your wife, Liz, think that you might be gay.
If you can tell us what it is and you match what Liz said, you're going to be a winner.
You're a big fat winner.
I would say talk in a gay voice.
Oh, no. I would say that too, but
no,
I'm terribly sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's the fact that you shave your legs.
You shave your legs and you don't ride cycles anymore.
And you use her woman's shaving lotion on your legs.
I'm sorry?
So are we. Will you use her shaving products?
Yes.
Yes, you see, that's what she thought was what you did.
Why do you shave your legs, Michael?
Well, I actually do it for my wife because
I like it.
She likes the way it looks.
Oh, now.
Well, that, what a traitor you are, Liz. There you are encouraging him in one breath and in the next breath saying it makes you think he's gay.
All right, well,
but, you know, Michael, you're the one that takes the razor to your calves.
That's true.
That's true.
So you would get the OT spelling. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Liz. Goodbye.
Michael obviously enjoys it.
I actually do it for my wife.
Because yeah. I talk in a gay voice.
Seems to me he had that voice down.
Oops.
And hi, Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
Hello.
Oops, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Who's this?
This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. What's your husband's name?
It's Billy.
Billy.
I can't believe I'm actually talking to you guys.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you. Listen, you think he might be gay because why?
Not because of something he regularly does, but something he did the other day. I TiVo'd Made in Manhattan for me, and I walked in, and he was watching it.
Oh, dear.
I actually expect...
I'm going to have to say that that's not necessarily gay. he might like Jennifer Lopez.
Well, you know, one time he made me watch Nell.
Well, now that might be because she plays like a retarded girl.
And Nell is not necessarily a chick flick. We're going to have to ask for one more film.
Yeah.
Is there any other film that he... Is there? What are his favorites? Are there any of his favorites that you might consider a real chick flick?
I actually looked down his shirt to see if he had boobs.
What?
I looked down his shirt to see if he had boobs.
See, I
he was watching Made in Manhattan.
Yeah, the Made in Manhattan... Is,
also, I'm sorry, I had a problem with the way she pronounced Manhattan.
I agree.
Huh. She's just not gay enough.
Congratulations, Billy.
Hello. Don and Mike Show, who's this?
Hello, who's this?
Hi, I'm Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. Let me see. Who are you married to?
Drew,
of course, Drew.
Yeah.
Why do you think that he might be gay? Or what is it he does that appears to be gay?
Well, do you want a list or you want my favorite one?
You want to go to the top one. We want the top
right.
one.
Right.
Start strong.
Cool. Yeah. Well, the one that shocked me when we were dating was he liked the scrapbook.
Yeah, the scrapbook.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to go any further. He likes the scrapbook?
He does. He likes to cut out pictures and put cute sayings with them. It's very scary.
Okay, like, give us an example because...
Like, when we were dating, he brought over this entire scrapbook he made of his trip to Germany with a youth group.
Oh, boy.
It was a little creepy. Stickers and all. Yeah.
Are there any pressed flowers in the scrapbook?
There's everything you could think of.
I'm going to have to hear more than that because that, to me, could just be, you know, a guy that's keeping track of things.
He had an entire Creative Memories kit of scrapbooking supplies.
Right.
Way more than I've ever had.
That is a number one chick activity, scrapbooking.
It is.
I don't know a guy that scrapbooks.
What else does he do, though? What else is on your list? Just curious.
Oh, he loves to shop for mostly girl clothes. He dresses me, of course, but...
So he likes to shop for your clothes? Yeah, let some guys.
Loves to shop for anything. Anything. He holds his cell phone really strangely. I don't know. You'd have to see it.
All right, let's explore that. How does he hold his telephone?
Oh, you know, the wrist flips.
The wrist flips.
And he's got the little gay lisp in his voice.
Wow.
Guys... I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll only take two or three vetoes, as each of you can.
Okay.
I just didn't think that was quite gay thick enough.
You didn't think scrapbooking?
No.
Okay.
Think
no.
About the phone.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Because Tammy?
Hi there. Hi, Tammy. I could see a guy.
Yeah.
Pammy. I'm sorry, Pammy. I could see a guy maybe, you know, if you're on a trip to Germany, you're on a trip to Europe, you want to document it. I mean... Okay, faggot. Sorry.
With the youth group.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
No, but I mean, it really is kind of aren't there women that have scrapbooking parties?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's kind of like a Tupperware party. It's it's like one of those things.
I didn't know that. I did not know
that. You don't scrapbook, do you?
Well,
yes, I do.
To you.
No, of course not.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Donna Mike Show. Hello, Pammy.
Hi, how are you?
What's your husband's name, Pammy?
Mike, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, you didn't say Michael. What is it that Mike does that makes you think he might be gay?
He's so gay. I mean, he decorates better than I do, or any girl or any interior decorator for that.
Well, that's all right. Unless he's got better taste than you do.
He absolutely does. I mean,
anything else? We need something else, Pammy.
Cooking. I don't know. I mean, you name it. He loves candles. He loves shopping for candles.
He loves candles. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gay, but not gay enough.
Right. Hey, listen, don't worry. There's no shortage of callers on this. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this, please? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. What's your husband's name?
Kent.
Oh, winner.
Why do you say, yeah, besides his name, what is it that Kent does that makes you think he might be gay?
During marital relations, at that final moment, he giggles like a girl. I don't mean a soft giggle. I mean, every time. For 20 years, there is not one. The second I hear that giggle, I know we're done. Because every time, it's every time.
Now, is it like a Michael Jackson hee-hee-hee?
Yes, like a Michael Jackson, high-pitched hee.
Oh, I'm there.
That's it, every time.
That's got to be disturbing.
It's fun. It takes something really passionate and then makes it where I'm trying not to laugh.
Turns it into a cartoon.
All right, you know what? We'll try this guy, and we'll do this again after the break, because I don't think this is thick enough, but maybe we'll get one guy.
Give the guy a try?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to call Kent, who giggles like a girl. During sex.
Like Michael Jackson.
Not to be confused with Pammy's Mike, who likes candles, or Tiffany's Drew, who likes to scrapbook.
Sorry if I...
Or our first loser, Liz, whose Michael shaved his legs.
I fumbled about that scrapbook thing.
I forgot what Melissa and Billy were up to. I forgot what Billy, but it wasn't thick enough.
It is fine. Yeah, we decided.
What? God. I don't know.
I forgot what Billy's was. Do you remember what Billy's was?
No, I don't.
How you doing, Ron?
They come, they go.
Yeah, okay. Hang on.
Okay,
well, obviously, and they giggle if you can't.
That's right.
Here we go. Didn't think you'd sound like
Now, they have to match. Kent has to match this.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's welcome
Kent.
Hi, Kent.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Kent. This is Don and Mike, and we're on the line with your wife.
Cindy's
on
the line. Yes.
Hi,
honey.
And we're doing a thing on a radio show.
Gay, but not too gay.
Gay, but not too gay.
A little game called Gay, but not too gay.
There's something you do that makes your wife, Cindy, think that you're gay.
If you can match what Cindy said, Kent, you will win a prize.
Or that you might be gay.
Right.
Yeah.
What is this again?
Cindy told us something you do that she thinks is kind of gay, and if you can tell us what you think Cindy said, you win a prize.
You win a prize. What do you do that's gay?
She always tells me that when I laugh after we are finished with sex, that's kind of...
Well, she actually was a little more specific, and she said you giggle like a girl during sex.
Oh, Cindy.
Oh, Cindy. Andy.
Yeah, it was
Sorry.
It's a match.
Get out of here. Have it get out of town.
Do we call that a match?
I mean, he, you know, he says he laughed after sex. She said giggled like a girl.
And he said,
yeah, but he's not.
He said laugh. I'm sorry. There's a big difference between laughing and giggling.
Yeah, but what guy is going to say I giggle? Laugh and giggle.
Right. Yeah, he's not going to say giggle.
Kent, do you giggle?
Don't argue with Cindy.
Do you giggle or do you laugh, Kent?
I guess I giggle.
And why do you giggle?
I really can't tell you why.
Very happy. Is it kind of a spontaneous reflex?
I think it's an afterglow spontaneous reaction.
After talking to Cindy, I'm surprised he doesn't cry.
Kent, is it after or is it kind of at the moment of truth?
Well, it would be after the moment of truth.
After the moment of truth.
Right after the moment of truth.
How would it sound?
And she says that I don't even notice myself.
Do it for us one time.
See if you can do it.
Pretend that you've just achieved.
what I'll do. Just,
hold on. Was that really, Cindy, is that what he does?
No, it's a little more high-pitched.
Has anyone ever in this room laughed afterwards, like where you've kind of like giggled, just laughed, and started cracking up?
Yes.
I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been laughed at.
No, I've laughed when it's just like, it's kind of like good, so you laugh.
Yeah, it's like a victory laugh. Right?
Where it's just like, oh, wow.
Right.
You know, have you ever done that?
No.
Don?
Never.
Good answer. I've not only done it, but I put it in a scrapbook.
And I think that
yeah,
the losers.
Yeah,
sorry. We appreciate that. Listen, let's come back and devote another segment to this.
Okay. this is fun.
There are gayer guys out there.
Oh, of course there are.
I know there are gayer married guys out there.
But thanks to Liz, Michael, Melissa, Billy, Tiffany, Drew, Tammy and Mike and Cindy and Kent.
Be right back with more calls.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John. Is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show. When they lay it out, they play it out. Don and Mike.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Pretty good. Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's see if we get a winner here. See if we get some more women with husbands who have gay tendencies.
Yeah, we got to move. I got some candles to buy. I also got to get some shaving supplies.
Hello, Donna. Mike Show. Who's this?
This is Julie.
Hi there, Julie. Do you love me?
Thanks. Well, I guess we think that every time we
do
hear
you care?
Are you, are you thinking of me?
Will you still be there?
Right.
Ah, Julie.
Julie.
Julie, do you love me?
Julie.
Julie. Your husband,
yeah.
Tell me, is he gay like Mike and I for knowing the words to Julie, Do You Love Me? Or what is it that he does?
He loves that show, How Do I Look?
What's your husband's name again, Julie?
Tony.
Tony.
What is the show, How Do I Look?
Oh, it's Finola Hughes. She used to be a soap opera star. Anyway, she has this show where they take these people who are clueless on what to wear.
I'm going to file Tony under Love's Obscure Television Show No One Has Seen.
There you go, Ann. Good day, ma'am.
Tony with an I.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Pam.
Hi, Pam. Pam, what's your husband's name?
His name is Ray.
Ray, Big Ray. What is it that Ray does that you think is kind of gay? Gay Ray.
Big Ray waxes his eyebrows.
Big Ray waxes his eyebrows. That's kind of gay.
Okay,
wow. I mean, you don't need much more than that.
But.
Has he got a unibrow?
He looks like a flipping cat on his forehead.
Okay, see, I hate to be an apologist for these guys, but if he had, like, Andy Rooney-type eyebrows.
Yeah. It's okay if you're an apologist for them. You go right ahead.
I don't think this is thick enough. That if you're a guy who if you have out-of-control eyebrows.
I would have thought scrapbooking was more gay than this, so I'm with you on this one. I'm not going to fight you on this one.
Okay.
When he finishes waxing them, does he look like Joan Crawford?
Yeah.
You shape them?
I know what we're looking for. We're looking for something a little bit more in touch with the feminine side.
Yes.
I think so.
If you have a unibrow, you probably need to do that just to look presentable.
What if he waxed his bikini area?
No, that would be big.
Of course.
Don and Mike show. Hello, who's this? Hello?
Speak to us. Come on.
Hello? Name, please.
Michelle.
Ah, good girl.
Michelle, you a little nervous?
Yeah, or confused on hearing the show.
Here you go. Just turn down the radio, keep listening to us, and what's your husband's name?
Donald.
And what is it that Donald does that you think is kind of gay?
He performs vibrators.
Oh, hold on.
Wait. Now, you got to be careful about what you say.
Yeah.
Now, you can say, I heard what you just said. What he does is he puts one of his wife's toys in his mouth.
That's right.
Correct.
I think we might have a stone cold winner.
Yeah, except for one little warning.
What's question. That?
It's the stupid warning.
Okay.
What's the warning?
Don't worry about it, Michelle.
Okay.
All right.
So, and it's your vibrator, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Do you have a name for your vibrator?
No, I don't.
And he,
yeah, how about we call it Einstein?
Why does he put this electrical item, this battery operated item? Let's refer to it. Yeah, appliance. Thank you, Rob.
That's good.
Why does he put your appliance in his mouth?
I asked him to do it, thinking it was maybe over the top, and he agreed, and he did it better than I ever could.
Oh, I see. So it was a challenge.
Was that a tribute to him or a kind of a slight of you?
No, I'm good. He's just better.
How many times has he done this?
A handful of times.
He does it all the time?
It's not our regular routine. It's for special occasions.
Does he have a good dental plan?
A special occasion.
Does it turn you on when he does that?
Oh, absolutely.
When's the last time he did it for you, honey?
It's probably been about a year.
About a year.
Yeah.
More important, maybe, does it turn him on?
It does turn him on. That's the best part.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second.
Okay. All right. That's a winner.
He sucks his wife's appliance. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
And for entertainment purposes, not to make it live.
No, not just to entertainment. Right. It says it turns him on.
That's
she
what
said
I,
that.
That's entertainment.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, everybody.
Calling Michelle's Donald right now.
Gay, but not too gay.
That's big. Whoa, that's a biggie. I wonder if it is big.
Yeah, big exactly.
All those things usually big.
Like his flesh color? Would that make it
Let's
gross?
Try to find out.
We could ask pink plastic.
Purple. Black.
Mm-hmm.
Erotic.
Sure.
You know, like Kobe Bryant.
Right.
81 points. My God, 81 points. Who scores like that?
Wilt.
Kobe.
Good.
Got him?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Let's welcome to the show now,
Donald.
Donald.
Hi, Donald.
Hi, Donald.
Hello.
Hi there. Let me bring your wife, Michelle, into this. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Donald.
There you go.
Hey, what's going on?
Let's see. Donald, we're playing a game called...
Gay, but not too gay.
Gay, but not too gay.
Gay, but not too gay.
We asked your wife. She called our show. She said there's something you do that's kind of gay. If you can tell us what it is, you win $100 and a valuable prize.
I know what it is.
What is it?
I'm trying to see how I can say this clean.
Do your best, please.
Performing something on a rubber dildo.
Okay, now
he almost made it.
Now, you know,
all right.
It's amazing how he knew to censor himself, too.
I think we may have a new game called Lie.
How do we say it without being in trouble?
Lie, but not too much lie.
Crap detector, but not too big a crap detector.
And
it wasn't the exact same thing.
I had the CD going on the minute he answered the phone. He had that eagerness to it, you know.
All right. right, hello there, Don and Mike show.
And you know, I like it occasionally when we do our crap detector thing, and we don't have to do a big explanation.
No, I mean, the guy was just too, like, too
cool. He knew they did
cool
it pre-arranged.
Hey, yeah. I want to make ready. Sure I say this okay on the radio.
Free.
Hello.
FM free.
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Seth.
Hi, Seth. What's your husband's name?
Mike.
Mike. Oh, there you go, another Mike.
That's an interesting name for a woman, Seth. That's a man's name, isn't it?
No, Seth, like Jess.
Oh, Seth.
Like
Seth. Okay. Seth, don't Seth back.
All right, Seth, what is it that BM does? What is the Big
okay,
Mike? What
well,
is the Big Mike does?
Big Mike actually is a pretty big guy, but he loves him a good pedicure.
Now, again, sorry.
In this day and age...
I do,
no,
too.
Sorry.
Do you, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the problem. These people are calling a show that is gay. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
There.
Not in any room. Right.
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, it's Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay. What is your husband's name, please?
My husband's name is Gerald.
Gerald, okay. And what is Gerald. It that
I thought it was
Gerald.
Gonna be Lyle.
What is it that Gerald
the Wagoners.
Mike Lindsay Wagner was never married to Lyle Wagner.
I know. And it's a man can hope, can he?
Lindsay Wagner
and
Lyle,
not Wagoner.
Lyle Wagoner.
You're right. I know.
Hello.
I was named after the Bionic Woman, indeed.
Cool.
All right. What is it that he does that's kind of gay?
Well, he's a big, strong guy, works for the fire department, but when commercials come on, he cries, and not just at those cheesy Kodak ones.
Like what? Give us a commercial he cries at that you would... not normally associate someone crying with.
It can be like a family goes out to McDonald's because the son won a baseball game. It can be a sale. It really doesn't matter. He's having to figure out what triggers it. He just starts crying.
When's the last time he cried at a commercial that you didn't think he should cry at?
How recently?
Good. Probably within the last few weeks. I mean, he cries, I would say, about once a week when watching TV.
That's even better. Can we accept cries during commercials and cries at least once a week?
Yes. Hold on. Right. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, give him a call. Now, you said he Zales Diamonds, he cries during that. He'll even cry during a McDonald's commercial?
There was some commercial where the family went out because, you know, the boy won a baseball game. Like,
touching
I
moment.
Really, I don't know what triggers it. It's not...
I understand.
I know what triggers it. I think it's something...
I've cried at commercials. I've cried at TV commercials.
Not at commercials. No.
Mm-hmm. But probably not, like, with something on sale.
I guarantee I've cried at more than one commercial.
He's cried at about sales?
Like a sale, like something's at a discount. Like, he'll cry at random. It's not even touching moments.
You mean not even a touching... That's odd.
Yeah, we've thought about perhaps telling him to seek help, but...
All right, hold on, Lindsay. Hold on a second.
Okay.
He knows it.
Might
hold
be
on.
A symptom of depression.
He's inconsolable.
You got him? All right, well, let's welcome now...
Daryl.
Daryl, hi. Welcome to the show. Here's your wife, Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Don.
I were playing
Hello.
A game. Playing a game called
Gay, but not too gay.
Gay, but not too gay. What is it that you do that your wife Lindsay thinks makes you kind of gay?
And Lindsay, if you match Lindsay's answer, Daryl, you'll win a prize.
Well, actually, she's been making fun of me for a long time. I cry at commercials.
Cry at commercials.
Yeah, I. It doesn't matter. I've the Volvo commercial where they were putting the bow on the car made me break down like a baby. I don't know why.
Now that was a fast answer, and I don't want to cast any aspersions.
I know it was too fast an answer. Lindsay,
does it once a week? Trust me, I've been teasing them for a long time.
No. It happens all the time. Actually, I'm a bigger guy. I'm a paramedic with the D.C. Fire Department. And
you guys didn't like get together and prearrange this, did you?
No, I make
actually,
him
I
a lot.
Got off work. I'm on my way home right now. I haven't talked to my wife all day.
Have you been listening to the radio?
No. Actually, like I said, I just got in the car. I got off at 6 o'clock.
What's the last commercial you cried at?
The last one I cried at.
What's the last one we played?
not radio commercials, it's TV commercials.
Right.
Okay, what's the last TV commercial you cried at?
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
He mentioned one.
Yeah, I was going to say, now the the Volvo one is when it really started.
Describe,
from head injury. I had a free fall and hit me on the neck and break my neck.
Please describe
like 4 years ago, and it really got worse since then.
So did you after you had a tree fall on you, is that when you started getting emotional?
Yeah, and I've been blaming it on, head trauma.
Do you cry at a lot of movies and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah, it's mainly the commercials are the weird part is what
describe,
you make fun of me about.
Okay, I believe them too.
I do too.
Describe the Volvo commercial that makes you cry.
The Volvo commercial, it's like a winter commercial. It came out like a couple Christmases ago where it's like a car in the driveway with a big red bow and, it's like Christmas and all of a sudden it's, I don't know. I just remember the family comes out and they're giving them their Volvo for Christmas and I don't know. That was the big one that first started.
I believe it.
Okay.
Did you cry at that Home Depot commercial where the tree fell on the guy?
Well, actually, my friends make fun of it. They got me the Trees and Shrubs for Dummies book. That's when I'm still in the hospital, just out of ICU.
Right.
That's their big gift present.
Do you like the sensitive Daryl, Lindsay?
I do.
Good.
I frankly do. He's manly when he needs to be.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Thank you. Well, all right, congratulations, Lindsay and Faggot. Let me see you guys.
In a world where owning a radio
strictly
forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
Bazito, let's see. Lindsay, you get $100.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and Daryl, you've won the WWE Royal Rumble prize pack. As we all know, wrestling is as gay as it gets.
Sure.
So enjoy. Thank you. And hold on a second.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Hold on a second. $100 buys a lot of Kleenex.
There you go.
I don't know.
The trauma thing convinced me. After I had my surgery, under anesthesia a lot, I had several surgeries for like a year or two after that, just about anything would set me off. I think I'm past it now, but there's something about trauma, I think, that has something to do with that.
Yeah.
Isn't that a touching story?
That's just so sad. I wish I could quit you.
How will we go on?
Yeah. A lot of times, I don't know about that head trauma stuff, but Carrie cries when she gets hit in the head.
Oh, God.
Sometimes.
But I'm still afraid.
Gay, but not too gay.
Buzz, what are your lead stories on news and comments tonight?
Okay, the debate over absinthe heats up. Uh-oh. Osama's book club beats Oprah's. And Syria hates our ass, but loves our chicken.
Wow.
All right, Buzz. What was that lead again?
The debate over absinthe.
That's the one I'm going to wait through the commercials
for. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for news and comment. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
I think we have any good fags in that bunch, to be honest. But we'll do that again sometime.
I know.
Who are we to judge?
That was very...
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Krepa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked. Don Geronimo and Michael Mera.
Right. Town called Malice, everybody. Do a search, you'll find it by a band from L.A. called The Jam. Time for Buzz's news and comments. Buzz, you're sponsored.
Hey.
Take your weekend football party from the dull zone to the flavor zone with all authentic buffalo wings made with Frank's Red Hot Sauce Originals and buffalo wing flavors. Frank Herzog's Red Hot Sauce.
Wow.
A perfect balance of flavor and heat. And I don't know. It might be Frank Perdue. Maybe it's not Frank Herzog.
We just don't know.
Don't know. It might be Frank Burns.
Might be our old producer, Frank.
Frank Murphy. Here's Buzz.
It's actually Ann.
Oh, Ann Frank's barbecue sauce, of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Gorshin.
I don't know where people get these ideas. I don't know who sets this example.
How about Stallone?
Frank Stallone.
Could be. Bird brains.
Probably is.
Yeah, sorry, Buzz.
For reasons I don't understand, America has become fascinated with the Green Fairy. That's the nickname for an alcoholic drink called absinthe.
I remember that. I remember that stuff.
I remember that too.
You cannot get it legally in this country, and it's not it is not illegal to possess or use it. That's okay. You can have it. You can drink it.
Well, now when you say something like it's illegal to get,
you can't buy it.
Maybe it makes me slightly worried since we have a link on our webpage.
No. It's not illegal.
To the guy where you can buy it.
It's not illegal to sell it.
Right. It's not illegal to buy it.
Exactly. Well said. You can buy it online from overseas.
You can't sell it like in a liquor store. You can't sell it in a
right.
bar.
Right. Gotcha. So there are these restrictions, even though it can be gotten. Absinthe is, for the most part, banned in the U.S. because the Food and Drug Administration says the absinthe ingredient thujone can have harmful neurological effects. The alcohol it's floating in, apparently, good for your brain. But thujone is where the FDA draws the line. In a beverage, it has inspired artists and writers, including Hemingway, Van Gogh, and Oscar Wilde. Quoting Oscar, what difference is there between a glass of absinthe and a sunset?
Good!
As it turns out, the sun may be setting on absinthe.
Wow.
Absinthe is now a suspect in the July 5th disappearance of a Connecticut man who was drinking it on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship in the Mediterranean.
Oh, no, you mean they think that he went squirrely and...
That's what some people are saying.
Because of the absinthe?
Uh-huh. George Allen Smith IV had been drinking absinthe with some other guys while he was on his honeymoon. He and the new missus had been arguing and drinking. Quoting a witness, they drank the whole bottle. He called her name. She kicked him in the groin, and now he's gone.
Maybe it was stepped on. Maybe it wasn't that pure absinthe you're able to get us. Maybe, and how would you step on absinthe?
Water it down.
Yeah, put a little more lime juice in there.
Right.
But I don't know. I was the last one to really get drunk on it, and I just... felt like it's powerful booze.
It's just very happy alcohol.
What's more painful, getting sucked through a propeller of a boat or the hangover it gives you?
Bring me that propeller.
So he was fighting.
Really, the one I had the next day, bring me a propeller.
Yeah, he'd been fighting with his new bride, and it got ugly, and everyone had been drinking apparently too much.
I'll drink to that.
And now this guy has vanished. No charges have been filed yet.
I remember seeing a report on this where they showed the blood on the lower
side of the boat.
Yeah,
right,
the lower deck where the guy had fallen. What am I laughing at? It might be the effect of the absinthe.
Uh-huh. Things like that that just give absinthe a bad name.
Exactly, Don. That's exactly
right. Let's rethink this entire story.
See, this is the kind of talk that usually precedes something being outlawed. Let the hysteria begin.
What does your buddy Klaus or Helmut say about this?
Jacob. He says it's not only safe, it's good for you.
Yeah,
but then he sells it.
Right, of course.
You know, we've tried it. We didn't go crazy. Well, we didn't jump off the building.
What are they basing this on? Nothing.
The myth. And back in the olden days, when they made the absinthe in like the late 1800s, it was made with very bad alcohol. The alcohol wasn't made properly, and it became poison, like rocket fuel, and it would, in fact, make you go insane.
Is this just speculation by people who were on the boat who saw the couple drinking absinthe, and after all this time, they're thinking that could maybe be the only possible thing?
Police are interviewing people. They've talked to the witnesses on the boat, and now police are saying, aha, he had the forbidden absinthe. That must be it.
What is all this stuff they're saying about, like, neurological damage, though?
Mike, your headphones.
The tick there.
I don't
shook your headphones on.
I don't understand. Stamp.
But any of the experts on the boat that they interviewed, any of them named Norm Crosby?
No, Norm Crosby was not interviewed for this story, Rob.
Mr. Crosby, can I have your autograph, please?
No effing way.
He does talk funny.
Quote, Norm Crosby, no effing way.
So
that's fine. I was only going to use it for toilet paper anyway.
Even though this couple had been fighting, absinthe has been drawn in now as a suspect. And as one lawmaker said... 100 years ago, it is truly madness in a bottle. No habitual drinker can claim he will not become a criminal. The hysteria has begun again.
I forgot to tell you. That night I drank it, I knocked over a bank. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Forget Oprah. If you want to really sell books, get an endorsement from Osama. That's right.
Rob drinks absinthe with Frank's hot sauce.
It's a great cocktail, and I've never gone mad.
Oh, way to work the client in.
Yeah, I like that.
Frank. Thanks, Frank.
Frank Caliendo's hot sauce.
Better than Oprah, get your book recommended by Osama bin Laden. Not only have we not caught the guy over 4 years later, but now he's recommending books. More amazingly, Americans are buying the book Osama recommended in his latest video. The rogue state begins with the words, Washington's war on terrorism is as doomed to failure as its war on drugs. with 24 hours, within 24 hours of the Osama show last week, the book went from 209,000 on Amazon's list to number 30. And by yesterday, Amazon had sold all of its copies.
I only wish it was beach season. It sounds to me like a great summer sit at the ocean read.
That's
you
right.
Knocked that out in a very short period of time.
It's a really big print. Quoting author William Bloom, I was shocked and amused when I found out what he'd said. I was glad. If he shares with me a deep dislike for certain aspects of U.S. foreign policy, then I'm not going to spurn any endorsement by him. I'm not turned off by that, he says. End quote.
Hmm.
Yeah. In Syria.
I'm madder at him now than I was way back then.
At Osama?
Yeah, I'm just getting sick of his ass. You know, I thought maybe he was gone, and then he surfaced again.
Let's give him absinthe.
Try his books.
It'll drive him mad.
Listen, George Bush. Let me just stop everybody. Super George is just this close from catching him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Super George has just had him and he just like that got in the way.
Yeah. So close. You hear that from everybody.
So close, yet so far away.
So kind of like those people that called him that last game. I believe them all.
Super Bush. Come on, don't give up in Super Bush. Be like me. Be a patriot.
Don't talk about my president that way.
Yeah, amen, Bush.
In Syria, they hate our
Super
ass.
Super Bush and Big Dick.
But they love our chicken, and that's our story when we come back.
Thank you. We'll be right back, Bush.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Not a word, my sweet. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Johnny just brought this in. Courtesy of Channel 50.
Yeah.
Somewhere, an ABC station, somewhere in one of our markets.
Oh, okay.
The guy from The Strokes, the drummer, I forget his name, it's like Fabio, something like that.
Okay.
He and Drew Barrymore were caught having sex in the bathroom at the New York Opera House.
Wow.
Breaking news.
That's there you go. All right.
Anyway.
I guess he could prove that they go down to her elbows.
Dick Clark loves that band.
The Strokes.
Hi, Buzz.
What am I band fan?
I don't, Mike.
I do. You know, and incidentally, the freshness date on the Dick Clark Stroke / Regis Philbin screaming New Year's Eve tapes really running out.
Yeah,
really?
It is.
No, I disagree. They're right.
Yeah, that reminds me of the telephone.
The Jerry tapes.
We're going to get to those, too.
Weren't we supposed to get back to those seriously?
We played all of the Jerry tapes.
I think
not
we did.
From 03.
Oh.
From 03. Oh. Okay, you and 03. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, guys. In Syria, they hate us, but they love our fried chicken. Syria sends insurgents to Iraq to shoot at us. They use our flag as doormats. Businesses in Syria put up signs that say, we boycott American goods.
You know, I read today that it's just as bad for Howard there as it was on regular radio.
Yeah, Syria.
Yeah.
They're
censoring him, too,
the
there.
The Syrians have rules as well.
Yeah, he's got like a dump button, and there's things that they say he can't talk. I was just reading about that.
Who knew?
With Syria satellite radio.
Wow.
Never mind.
I want my money back. With that, all of this hatred in Syria, America's fast food chicken joint, KFC, opened its first location in Damascus last week. Some say the
time in Maryland.
No, Damascus, Syria.
Oh, in the Syria cafeteria.
Some say the timing for this is all wrong. There are already Pizza Huts and TGI Fridays throughout the Middle East. Sometimes they get bombed. But all of these infidel restaurants are making money.
Those Desperate Housewives, they like that chicken, too.
Do they?
Yeah, I'm with Syria Lane.
Syrians hate the USA, but they love the KFC. Quoting one, I oppose American politics totally, but what does food have to do with it? Boy, with all the money the oil companies have made lately, I'll bet the government got a big piece of that.
You think so?
I bet the increased drilling allowed the government to collect more fees and taxes.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Woo, the government must be rolling in it. Let me check. No, actually what the government collected in 2005's year of record profits isn't much more than what it had collected the year before. Sure, it's $60 billion, but that's just a drop in the barrel for big oil. If the fees had kept up with the rising prices, the government would have taken in nearly $100 million, not the $60 million for which it settled. 5 years ago, this was a scandal. Not anymore. These days, the government's energy policy is mostly written by the oil company.
Now, your first 60, was, you said that was billion. Was that a billion or a...
I don't know. What did I say? Yeah, it's a lot
zillion.
Of damn money.
It was zillion, I think.
Yeah, I think true.
You sure it was zillion or was it gazillion?
Gazillion. A skillion. It's quite a lot.
Trillion.
When we come back, foreign cars...
Infinity.
Foreign cars...
Excuse me. CBS Radio.
That's right. Thank you for changing that. Foreign cars in NASCAR and a trip down Gaywood Road when we come back.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. I seen that on the crawl during the game yesterday. It made me kind of upset.
I know.
I mean, I don't want to have no offense to any Orientals, but, right. You know, Jap cars running in my NASCAR. I wish I could quit you. In the pole position today, Bobby Lee. Oh, just the cars, not the drivers.
Right.
Bobby Lee! We'll be right back. Thank you, bud.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
The cure for your malaise. The Don and Mike Show.
So many things we're not able to get to today. We will tomorrow, including screwing with all of the tools in management in this company. Okay. They're having their big retreat. You know, and as the company continues to...
Wow you?
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but noticing that the location and the dates that the managers go away for to drink the Kool-Aid for the brainwashing get worse and smaller.
Shorter length of time in less prestigious locations.
It used to be every year at Hawaii for a week.
Right.
Then it was like in Jamaica for a week.
Then they moved like to the east coast of Florida.
Yeah, and
Vegas. They did Vegas.
Vegas. And now it's 2 days in San Diego.
Oh.
And we'll be calling Michael Hughes to find out how the warm wine enemas are in America's most livable city tomorrow when we bother all of our managers at the big CBS conference.
Next year it's overnight in College Park.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because you know your boss is a bad manager when, even though you can see him from where you sit, he still emails you with what he could just tell you in person.
Oh, God, that is like the Michael Hughes story.
Mm-hmm. Email has replaced backbone for a lot of these guys.
Oh, you're right about that, with everybody.
A new survey shows that email has become the most common form of dialogue at work and that only 13% of managers use the phone anymore to say what's on their mind. Used to be 48%.
Michael Hughes, warm wine. Take the nozzle and let me see. Put it in my R and
hold it 18 inches above my head.
The F comes out of my A. Best. Michael Hughes, General Manager, Vice President.
The advent of email is the reason for this. 5 years ago, 24% of all managers preferred a face-to-face. That's now down to 14%.
24.
They have the email. The researchers say some things need to be discussed in person or at the very least on the phone.
The face-to-face, that would be the Ken Stevens era.
Right.
If you're wondering about how the management has gone here, what with all of the bad things that we say about all of our managers,
right.
You can definitely tell the era. Ken Stevens was the face-to-face. Ken Stevens was the, what the F did you do? Get your ass in my office. I want to see you. Alan Limewand, he was a great one with the telephone. Alan did love the telephone.
Right. That's okay.
Alan liked the telephone because he did not like the face-to-face, and he liked talking too much to get it into an email.
You can interact. And back in the days of Alan Goodman, it was come into the studio.
Yeah.
Now, he wouldn't wait for us to come to his office.
Excuse me. And now with Hughes.
With Hughes, it's all electronic, right?
Yeah, we've just got the... It's just Crackberry all the time. Uh-huh. That's all it is.
And Ken Stevens used to go to Hawaii, and Michael Hughes goes to College Park.
Yes.
In sports, NASCAR says Toyota will race Camrys in this year's Nextel series. It's the first foreign car in NASCAR since Jaguar in the 1950s.
Oh, and by the way, I checked. Big Oil did $60 billion worth of drilling. The government could have collected $700 million more than they did.
Okay.
Apologies for the confusion.
Gotcha. That was gazillion.
Or that. Finally, at first, the people who live on Gaywood Road in Alamo, California, were amused when people stole their street signs. They'd just all laugh and then pitch in and buy a new sign. But 3 years later, at $600 a sign, they've stopped laughing. So the people on Gaywood Place in Moraga, California have...